much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Connections completed and quite satisfactory. We can now proceed with the next part of our plan.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
In a nutshell, 2009 looks like what to you?
Miserable.
2010.
Miserable, even worse.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Good song is perfectly as good. Oh, say, can you see? You belong to me. Every bounce you take, with every step you take, every bounce you make, every jiggle you take, every squeeze you make, I'll be watching you.
Booby!
And now.
Okay, everybody take out their thinking caps and rip them up. Then take out your doing caps, because we're going to do something tonight.
Our feature presentation.
I love people like that. I know that's from a TV show, but people like that actually exist, including a former general manager of this station.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
Remember when he used to have those cheer rallies that he would get
that's
together
right.
and
oh, try yeah. to motivate?
Try to motivate and just give us every cliche in the book about success. That's good times.
And by the way, he's now completely unemployed, too, which
that's
is
true.
What I love about it.
That is
correct. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's going to be the Wednesday edition of Kevin Amin's What to Do, Nephew. Psycho Mike, I know we talked about it yesterday when we saw the photo, but have you been to YouTube to see the video of the world's strongest child? Have you seen your 5-year-old Giuliano Stroh?
I've only seen pictures. I've not seen video yet.
Mike, first of all, wants to adopt his kid from Romania. He is 5 years old and is a bodybuilder. And I know people are outraged, and all the comments on the YouTube video are like, parents should be ashamed, and body's meant for that at that age, and they shouldn't let him do it, and stuff like that. You have to see what this kid does. I mean, it's not just the competition stuff that he does with lifting weights and everything like that. I mean, they show him basically, you know, standing upside down on a chair with one arm and things like that. I mean, he's the world's strongest kid.
Oh, my gosh.
It's also, when you hear 5-year-old, you think of a 5-year-old and then you try to add weightlifting to that picture. It's not like that at all. It's like start with a weightlifter. A bodybuilder, and then make that kid 5. He's got super defined muscle groups.
How is that possible?
Pec stomachs. Just, I don't know. He looks like he's rock hard. Looks like he's
That's
been...
what I wanted to ask Mike, is physically, you work with kids. How is it possible to develop those kinds of muscles at 5? Does he have some sort of testosterone overdose disease or something?
No, he clearly, on top of like exercising and all that, he's got a genetic gift to be muscular. So I don't know. I just don't understand how long he's been training to achieve that. You know, if he's only 5, that means he must have started training and eating, you know, like this at 3?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous because, I mean, you're like a ball of goo when you're like 2. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you yeah. and I were.
No,
he's
no,
not.
You know what I'm saying? Like little teeny kids, toddlers, 2-year-olds and stuff. They're like little wads of like nothing. Like how does he even like lift weights and eat, you know, chicken breast and broccoli and do all that stuff?
Bean, where can people look for that? Is there a video of that kid, did you say?
Yeah, I've been watching it on YouTube.
I'm watching it right now.
What do they search for?
Strongest child in the world, maybe?
I put or Romanian strongest child. 5-year-old and it came
world's
up.
Strongest 5-year-old.
He is now...
It's...
He's now on a balance beam doing push-ups. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, on a balance beam, standing up on his hands doing push-ups. It's crazy, and he'll do the thing where he does a complete 360 flip on the kitchen table. I mean, it's just that you have to adopt this kid, Mike. This kid is all about you.
Yeah, and it looks as if he comes from a really poor country, which is cool because like I could probably get him pretty easily.
You could probably get him cheap.
Yeah,
like $45 or something like that. He'd be yours.
That is cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your tip of the day is to check out the world's strongest kid. I don't care how old you are or what your physique is like. You'll feel bad about yourself when you look at what this kid's got going on.
And the other thing is he's peaking right now. I mean, can you imagine what a dick this guy's going to be when he's in high school?
Good point.
You know, junior high school?
Well, I think he'll probably be about 8 and he'll be really, really tired of working out. And then he'll just go to hell.
Yeah, well, that could
and,
be.
And then he'll just be a huge blob. Yeah, by the time he gets into high school, he'll weigh, you know, 340.
Yeah.
This could only happen in Eastern Bloc Europe, too.
Yeah, like that's true. He's standing on his hands on a what is that, a balance beam?
Yeah,
no.
That's exactly what
standing on his hands with his feet in the air, no support, doing push-ups.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah, that's crazy. Could you do that now, Mike?
Yeah, but...
You couldn't.
The thing that impresses me the most is not his strength, because like I could do handstand push-ups, all that. It's his balance and agility.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got world-class gymnast ability.
All right,
is a gymnast. Yeah.
May I suggest a video for KevinAmin.com, please? I would like a shot-by-shot recreation of Psycho Mike doing everything that the kid is doing in the video that we can put side-by-side.
Like I said, strength-wise, I can do that stuff. I can't do backflips and this gymnast stuff that he's doing.
That's what makes it better.
And he can do total splits,
That's what makes Bean's idea great, because you can't do it. It'd be fun.
I want to see, I want to have his YouTube video up and then yours right next to it doing the exact same thing, and then Miss Cleo's right next to that also doing the exact same thing. All three of you at the same time trying to do the same thing on a split screen.
I like it.
All right? That's unbelievable.
That's my goal now, to see that sometime next month.
That's unbelievable, and the world's drunkest man are my two favorite things in the last, I don't know.
That was great.
3 months.
Yes.
All right, it's time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call, we put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
We are paying you off for your time on the radio this morning with a pair of tickets to Ski Dazzle, the Los Angeles Ski Show and Snowboard Expo. It's going on at the Los Angeles Convention Center, October 29th through November 1st. That's what you get. Why don't we start with, let's start with Gio on line 4 calling about a very, very big sporting event last night. Hey, Gio, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. What it do?
What it do, fellas?
What's going on?
What about them Lakers?
Lakers.
Undefeated, I know.
Undefeated, that's right.
And the Clippers have lost every game this year.
That's true.
Oh, wow. I was watching a game last night, and I heard Reggie Miller talking about their upcoming schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said they got like 20 road games or something.
Right.
And he said there's no reason, as deep as these guys are, for them not to go 20-1. What do you guys think?
To win 20 games and lose one?
Yes.
On the road?
It's unlikely at best, but they are that deep. I mean, it's hard for teams to stay up all season long. You see that in every sport. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's football or baseball or, you know, basketball or hockey or whatever. There's always a letdown at some point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on paper.
Yeah, he said that they should. And then Stan Van Gundy or whoever the other, one of Van Gundy's, his partner will say, you know, putting him down. He said, nah, it's not possible. He's even laughing about it.
I mean, there have been teams that have lost. What's the best record ever? A team that lost 8 or 9 or something like that throughout the course of the season?
Like the 95 Bulls or one of those mid-90s.
Right, one of the Bulls teams. So it is possible to put up a record like that. But as Kevin said, it goes beyond just the physical ability. It's a mental thing. At some point, three quarters through the season, you let up a little bit, sometimes because you can. You got a big lead or whatever. You know, you're 8 games up or something like that. There's no need, you feel like, to keep playing.
Sometimes
that
early in the season, too. I mean, you just go, it's a long season. I'm not feeling, whatever. I mean, that's a difficult thing. But I got to tell you, watching the game last night, Blake Griffin. I mean, that guy tore it up.
He tore it up. You know what, guys? He hurt his knee. He's actually not playing at all. He's going to be out for at least 6 weeks.
So. What?
He was the Clippers' great hope this year.
The number one pick in the NBA?
I'm afraid so.
Mm. Yeah, Dave, big Clippers fan number one, Dave King of Mexico, went with me to the game last night, and he's like, Blake Griffin would look a lot better in a jersey.
Is he wearing a suit or whatever? Yeah. That's funny.
I looked. I couldn't find the ring ceremony on the TV. Maybe I didn't know where to look or it wasn't on.
I don't think it was on.
But I understand it was quite a spectacle, Mike. They brought out a Laker great from all of the 10 Los Angeles championship teams.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really cool. So you're talking the Jerry West, Michael Coopers, James Worthies, and of course Magic Johnson went on down the line. Magic Johnson had a little bit something to say. Everybody honored and gave a standing ovation to Dr. Buss. It was a really cool event.
Good times.
All right. Let's go to Sergio, who has what I think is a great idea. Hi, Sergio.
Yeah, exactly. Hello. What it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May?
What it do?
Lisa May. No, but
exactly.
It's Michael Mike, man. You said you can beat up about like 55-year-olds, right? If I remember right.
That's right.
I want to see you try to take on this little dude.
I'd like to see Psycho Mike in the octagon with the 5-year-old world's strongest kid. I'd like to see that.
All right.
He would wreck him.
Set it up.
All right. Done.
Can I shoot him?
Nope. Kevin to be broadcast in Romania. I love it.
Can you shoot him?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try Brian. He's on line 6 on the Kevin Bean Show, calling about a topic close to my heart. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, Bean. What to do?
What's going on with you, man?
I swear, it's like veterinaries are just like they're just as corrupt as the regular medical system. Because my dog has a little bit of separation anxiety, like chews up stuff at home when we're gone.
Right.
I take him to the vet. $25 later, and they want to put like spend another $10,000 to put the dog on Prozac. And do blood tests and blood workup and then put them on all this other psychological medication. So I went down and I got some calming tablets for $6 for like babies when they're teething, and he's fine. He's totally chill when we're gone away from home.
Wow.
Okay.
Good.
That's good. Although it seems maybe you should look into it a little more rather than just coming up with something off the top of your head. I mean, you don't know what the long term.
Well, it's completely natural. You can take a whole bottle of it, and kids can eat the whole bottle of it. It's
I've heard people have success with those calming tablets. I've heard that as well. But here's the question I had for you. Why? What did you mean when you said $10,000 for blood tests and putting it on psychotropic drugs? That's nobody gave you that figure.
No, because he wants to put them on for the rest of his life. So add all that up, all the doctor visits, all the pills, all the blood workups that he has.
Counting for another 20 years or whatever.
Right, I got you.
Well, the dog probably lived for 10 years.
Okay,
but
here's the other thing I'll tell you. It does. I mean, I can't speak specifically about your vet or your case, but not every vet that recommends you put your dog on Prozac is trying to rip you off or is a government pawn or anything like that. I mean, that is something that is done that does prove effective with some dogs.
Here's the problem, though, Bean, is that they tell you that they're giving you this, and they're giving you that. So
that's an excellent point. Who knows what's really in that?
That's right.
Good luck. I hope the calming tablets work for you. That sounds like a good fix. And let's do one more. I'd love to talk to Henry on line 5, because we have talked off the air a little bit about Sarah Palin and how unbelievably popular she is with some people.
Yes.
And that's what Henry's calling about. Hi, Henry. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How did you do, Kevin and Bean?
How did it do?
How did it do?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, man.
All right, there's a Xbox console on eBay going for $1.1 million. He's been trying to sell it. He put a bid on it for 5 days, but nobody's buying it.
What does that have to do with Sarah Palin?
Yeah, why is it special?
Well, according to him, he drove from Canada all the way down to Alaska for a rally for Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he had it signed. And then he went back and he wrote on the remarks that it was the greatest day of his life.
Greatest
day. Yes.
So she signed it, and he's trying to sell it for $1.1 million.
Yes.
Wow.
And under the remarks, people are telling him, what if I give you $1 million and you burn it? Send me the video of it.
She certainly elicits a reaction from people, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah,
it's still got 7 days left on it. It's at $1.1 million right now. But you know what? The thing about eBay is so many people bid just to bid, and they're not serious about it. We see that happen all the time with high-profile events. But there's a picture of the Xbox with her signature all along the side of it.
Yeah, but the funny part is that nobody's actually bidding on it. Nobody. Not even one person.
Yeah, I can see
that's
that.
The starting bid, right.
You know, it's a really bizarre mixture of two worlds. Who would ever think that, you know, Sarah Palin or any politician would have anything to do with Xbox or video games?
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense.
Right, and I get that. I get the appeal of that if it's... You know, I mean, obviously John F. Kennedy couldn't sign an Xbox, but if it's somebody like that, somebody of great historical significance who's dead, who you can't get an autograph from today at a Wendy's, I get the draw for some people. But somebody like Sarah Palin, nobody pays that kind of money for it. I mean, she's still alive and young, you know, and hasn't had the impact of a former president.
So. Imagine somebody buys that and then their friends come over and they go, look at this. This is signed by Sarah Palin. Yeah, sure. No, seriously. I spent $1 million.
I can't imagine even reading the book, but it will be the number one bestseller in the country for weeks and weeks. It's going to be a huge hit, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
Let's talk about Foo Fighters Storytellers. We have tickets for that.
How about that?
In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to give you a chance to earn those.
Okay.
We want your true ghost stories today. Now, we come from a perspective of being skeptical. I don't know that I believe any of them. It's possible, of course. Anything's possible.
Sure.
But I feel like most times people tell ghost stories, you can kind of go, well, but, you know, the wind could have done that or whatever. I mean, there's always something.
Some explanation.
Here's my whole thing. my whole thing with ghosts is the same as extraterrestrial visits to Earth, which is if it happened as commonly as people say it did, there would be more conclusive proof.
Right. But that's not my deal. To say that it has never happened because
exactly.
Who knows that?
Exactly. It's very possible that it's happened.
Right.
And it hasn't happened in a way that nobody can explain or that people are generally willing to believe that right. That is in fact a visit from the grave.
Well, ghosts are crafty.
They are crafty. That's true. We're going to take calls from people who've had Megan Fox sightings. See if you can see if you fared any better than our own Psycho Mike when he was face to face with her.
Pretty good chance you did.
Yep.
Most likely.
Have a new Kevin Amin Citizen of the Day we want to tell you about just after the top of the hour. We have Ian Somerhalder on the phone today talking about Vampire Diaries.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Which I like. That's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a sucker for vampire stuff anyway, so.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. So we'll do that and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hey!
That's appropriate. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it is 5:54.
Ralph Garman joins us for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I'm just saddened.
Saddened by?
Oh.
Corey Feldman and his wife are breaking up.
What?
Oh, oh,
no.
I just saw them together.
Didn't he sing to her at their wedding?
He did, Lisa. I really thought these kids had what it took to go the distance.
How long have they been married?
His wife of 7 years, Susie, has filed for divorce.
She was hot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you consider it was Corey Haim.
Yeah, exactly.
Feldman.
Or Feldman.
Whichever.
Either one.
Yeah.
Whichever, Corey.
You know, they were married by Hammer.
Well, that should last you then.
MC Hammer married them on the set of The Surreal Life back in the day.
Is she the hot French one that came in with him on our show? Remember, was hanging out in the back of the studio when we were interviewing him?
She's not French, I know for a fact.
I don't think so.
Okay. So I would say no.
That must be somebody else.
They have a 5-year-old son named Zen.
Zen.
And Zen will apparently be spending his time in the lotus position with his mom because she wants full custody of their child. So
that seems good.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, he still wears the Michael Jackson glove, right? You know that, right?
Does he really to this day?
Well, whenever he shows up for any Michael Jackson,
sure,
you know, memorials, he's sporting the Sergeant Pepper outfit with the glove on.
But he's always in wacky stuff. Like, he was at some award show Dave and I went to, some horror award show. He's a presenter.
Yeah.
And it's everybody's in suit and tie and stuff. He's dressed like Voltron. He's got, like, shin guards and like, yeah, big shoulder pads. It was...
I heard he's such a douche. Sometimes he wears a This Is It Michael Jackson movie t-shirt. That's,
really?
That's what a loser this guy is.
He swallowed the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, wow. I know. Can you imagine?
Was he there last night with you, Kevin, at the movie premiere?
I did not see him. No.
Right?
I did not see him. I mean, it's hard to say because it was a big place. And,
sure.
You know.
So, you know, Kevin went to the This Is It premiere last night.
Which may be the single geekiest thing he's ever done.
No, more than wearing the t-shirt the next day?
But I think so, because you know the Michael Jackson people, the hardcore Michael Jackson fans that waited out on the sidewalk for 4 days to get their tickets to that thing last night, right. That's who Kevin was hanging out with last night.
Yeah, but it was also star-studded,
that's right?
Yeah, but that,
Kevin helicoptered in. He has people.
I don't really care about the star-studded part, the part that hurt me. And by the way, it was great. But the part that hurt me was while I was sitting there, I realized the Lakers had their first home game against the Clippers 50 feet away from me. And I was like, oh.
That would be much cooler. That would be much cooler to be at.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Jacksons, apparently LaToya. Now we know why LaToya is saying that Michael's talking to her secretly via ghost. Because apparently Michael's kids, Prince Michael, Paris, and Blanket, are getting very close with Janet.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I see.
And word is LaToya wants custody of the kids after Grandma Catherine passes away.
Oh.
But Janet is obviously the kids' favorite. In fact, the Britain's Daily Mirror tabloid says that the three kids have already taken to calling her Mama. Because she spends most of the time raising and spending time with the children. And LaToya is furious and wants to find some way to insinuate her way into the main caregiver position in their
lives.
She
makes up a connection with the dead Michael.
So if Michael tells everybody via flashing lights and Tom Ford cologne that she has to be the primary caregiver, then what are you going to do? You got to listen to the ghost of Michael Jackson,
that's
right?
True.
Otherwise, she's just the crazy aunt.
That's right. We all have one of those. You know the name Andrew Morton sound familiar to you?
It does. Yeah.
He is a guy who has written several controversial biographies. He did one on Princess Diana that was a big seller, Tom Cruise, Madonna. Now, apparently, his latest unauthorized biography is that of Angelina Jolie's life. In the book, he's already got some outrageous claims, saying that Angie took her mom's boyfriend to bed when she was 16 years old.
What?
Yeah.
Although, if you would believe that about anyone, it would be her.
Absolutely. The book claims that after the incident, Angelina and her mother, Marceline Bertrand, who was a model and a beauty in her own right, had a falling out. And that her mom also ended the relationship with the man in question. Even though they were reportedly very much in love, it ruined their relationship forever and caused a rift between mother and daughter.
Well, I would think so. I would think the mom would go, You slept with my daughter? My daughter. I love you and all, but I'm out.
I'm less turned on now by you.
Right.
For some reason. The book is due in stores sometime this winter, so I'm sure there will be more outrageous claims to come. But I just thought that was interesting and kind of exciting. You gave me a little Woody. Lisa Kudrow is joining her old friend Courtney Cox in an episode of the upcoming Cougar Town. ABC says Lisa will play a dermatologist that is very mean to Courtney Cox as her patient.
That sounds
funny. So we can look forward to a mini Friends reunion sometime soon.
Who's seen that show, Cougar Town? I have not.
Cougar Town, I have not seen it.
Is it any good, Lisa?
I watched the first two and thought, I don't know if I'm going to watch this again, but it's gotten a little bit better. It's okay. It's not great.
It's doing real well in the ratings.
But it's okay.
Yeah. Inexplicably. Well, they got a pretty solid evening of comedy over there at ABC with Modern Family and some other shows. So. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Justin Guarini. Remember Justin?
Really?
Yeah. Who is that?
He's on your list.
He was the runner-up for the original American Idol. It's Kelly and Justin. Kelly.
Oh,
back
and
forth.
They did that movie, right?
He had the sideshow bob hair. Remember him?
Boy, did they make the right pick when it got down to that final two.
Yeah, he is 31 years old today. Joaquin Phoenix celebrates his 35th birthday. Singer-songwriter Ben Harper is 40 years old. Andy Richter, co-host of Conan O'Brien's Tonight Show, is 43 years old today. Julia Roberts celebrates her 42nd birthday. Lauren Holly is 46. Daphne Zuniga of the original Melrose Place and Spaceballs and The Sure Thing, another movie. She is 47 years old. Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft, is 54. And my old co-star from NYPD Blue, Dennis Franz, one of the nicest guys in all of show business, celebrates his 65th birthday. And I can't help but think of the time Kevin interviewed Dennis Franz on the red carpet of a movie.
We said, what should we ask Dennis Franz?
What?
We said, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way. Maybe I better just not ask it. We're going to talk about your ass some more, but maybe we won't. Any more nakedness on your part on NYPD Blue coming up this year?
I hope not.
Dennis Franz, busting your balls.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Every hour we'll be playing that.
Let's not play that, won't you? Think of something else.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I love crazy people. And this dude comes from San Diego. And his name is Woosie McGowan. Maybe even Wussy. You tell me. It's W-E-U-S-I.
Well, let's hear what he did first, and then we'll decide whether we want to call him a wussy or not.
He was on trial in San Diego for robbery and burglary. I'm not sure what how those two are different, but he was on trial for both of them. Okay. And his attorney was trying to plead that he was insane. That was their defense. He's insane. And the judge said, don't buy it. You're not insane. We're going to go ahead as usual. Mm-hmm. So what Wussy did was, several days later, he snuck a little bag in his clothing when he walked into the courthouse. And it was full of his own feces.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. So he sits down, and his lawyer sits down next to him. And at some point during the proceedings, he reaches and pulls the bag out and just wipes a bunch of it on his lawyer.
That's right. That's bad poop.
Can you imagine? Because those defense lawyers, right, provided by the state probably, get nothing.
No, they're paid crap. And then, their lives are horrible.
And this dude, Wussy, is sitting next to you, rubbing poo on you. And that can't be good. And you also have to stop for a second and go, Wow, you know what? Did that just happen? I can't even get my head around what's happening here.
Oh, my God.
We've had this discussion many times before. In fact, in a story very close to this one a few months ago, remember the guy who pulled his colostomy bag out at the table, at the defense table, and then started, well, shall we say, eating it. But we've had the discussion before. How do you determine whether somebody is actually insane or whether they're faking it? And at some point, does what they do indicate that there's no way to fake it? Because even to try to fake it and do something so crazy, you'd have to actually be insane.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's very difficult to determine.
But this guy wasn't done. He really, really wanted to prove to people that he was insane. So he then took the bag of poo and he threw it at the jury.
Okay, that just makes him a monkey.
It it does. It really does.
That's right. That's bad poo.
That does not seem like that's what you want in the way of buttering up your jury to side with you on any.
Yeah. Was his ass bright red, Lisa?
I mean, really, how often does this happen in a court of law?
Oh, that is so... That guy is fast.
The answer? Not enough. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Look, I don't care what the story is. Unless you're taking a sample to the doctor, there's no reason to ever have a bag of poo. It just isn't.
But even if you're taking a sample to the doctor, don't you give it to him there? I mean, do you have to... You know what I mean? Come on now.
Yeah. That is so disgusting. Right. And it doesn't make him crazy.
Well, I mean, I think that's what he was trying to prove.
I know.
Or...
If he ate the poo, I might think about it.
Really? So rubbing poo on the lawyer and throwing it at the jury means nothing to you?
No, but it didn't hurt him.
All right.
Okay. You need to be like the guy last year who cut his eye out and ate it. That's how you prove to me that you're insane.
So you tell me whether that story is better or this story is better. Right. Because I have two stories for Citizen of the Day, and they're both spectacular. This one comes out of Minnesota.
All right.
A Minnesota man was arrested last year for drunkenly driving. He pled guilty to the DWI charge. His name is Dennis Anderson. He's 62. He was nabbed after driving his motorized Lazy Boy lounge chair. Took his Lazy Boy lounge chair. It was one of those big, comfy chairs that you could lean back in the footrest.
No.
Yeah, and he made it street worthy.
Sweet.
And he went driving in it.
Yeah.
He has an 8-horsepower lawnmower engine in it. He put a stereo in it. He had headlights. He has, of course, a built-in cup holder. He has a bumper sticker that says, "Hell yeah, it's fast." However, it does not have a seatbelt.
Okay.
So that's now, one of the problems. It also has a steering wheel.
That's a heavy-duty chair right there. Is he driving this around because he lost his license from drunk driving an automobile? Is that the timeline here?
It doesn't say anything about his previous driving experience, whether he was in Miss Cleo's category or not. But
right.
But the cops actually, they noticed him when he ran into a parked car.
Sure, as they do.
With his motorized Lazy Boy lounge chair. So he hits the parked car. The police pull him over. They realize that his blood alcohol level is... 0.28.
Oh,
I'm sorry, 0.29, which is three times the legal limit.
Good time.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Can he get a moving violation ticket if he's in a chair, not in a car or a motorcycle?
I would imagine.
Because you're allowed to walk drunk, right?
No, actually.
You're not
really?
I don't believe so. I think they can arrest you
for
that.
For walking drunk?
You can get bike DUIs.
Yeah, you can get that.
So I'm assuming if you can get a bicycle DUI, you could get a Lazy Boy DUI.
It seems like if it's motorized, it's a Lazy Boy. He's on the street.
Right.
Yeah.
That can't possibly be good.
Not licensed.
However, having said that, they took the Lazy Boy chair car from him because they arrested him for 0.29, and they're going to put it up at auction.
Dude.
Like they do
all about you.
I could buy the Lazy Boy motorized car.
Kevin, buy it.
I could drive back and forth to work on a Lazy Boy. Are you kidding me? This is the best thing I've ever heard.
That is pretty sweet.
Come on, dude, buy it.
So this is in Minnesota. How do you find something like this? This is the police have stuff that they confiscate from perps?
I think every state has police auctions, and they usually announce them in the paper. So it might be worth calling the police department and finding out when the next one, when their next one's going to be that's up for sale.
Come on, it has a steering wheel and headlights.
Like where you can drive it then. I mean, if they're auctioning it off.
You'd think they wouldn't auction it off because it wouldn't be legal or whatever.
Right.
But If they're auctioning off, it means they want me to have it. Yeah, so clearly.
I think so.
So I'm in. So which do we like? We like A, throwing poo in court? We like B, guy
I
with the motorized B. lazy chair.
I go with B.
I'm going with B as well. I think I'm with Lisa on that.
Kevin and Bean, citizen of the day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's citizen of the day.
It is the 28th of October, and at 5 o'clock this afternoon is game one of the 2009 World Series. Kevin, I know you're very excited. No, you can't wait.
I'm not a baseball fan per se, but it is. I know there. I'm in the minority. I know most people love baseball, and the World Series, of course, is the ultimate. You know.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, like with any other championship of any other major sport, there's so many things going on. I mean, there's so many different angles to this thing. The Yankees, you know, they haven't been in the World Series since 2003. 6 years is an eternity for that franchise. They haven't won it since 2000. A lot of people will be very sad if Alex Rodriguez, in fact, wins the ring because he's considered the biggest dick in baseball. And it's awesome that he's been in the league for 16 years and has never been to a World Series. The Phillies took 125 years between winning their first World Series and then winning their second one last year. Well, and now they're back again to try to repeat.
That's just patience.
Is definitely patience. And now they're trying to repeat. You have two of the very best pitchers in baseball going against each other tonight. CC Sabathia, who's undefeated in the playoffs, and Cliff Lee, undefeated in the playoffs as well. Two great pitchers. The Phillies have been off for a whole week, by the way, since the last time they played baseball. So they're rested and ready to go. But it just looks like it's going to be great. The first lady is going to be there tonight. The second lady is going to be there tonight. They got all sorts of special stuff planned for the
game.
Who's
the second lady? The vice president's wife?
Vice president's wife. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So that'll be at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Yankees versus Phillies. And Alex is telling me that Manny Ramirez is calling us right now?
That
doesn't make any sense. He must have heard us talking about the game or something.
Hi, everybody. I'm Manny Ramirez. I'm fielding for Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A.
Manny, what's going on?
You guys are supposed to call me on the phone and talk about baseball all the time during the playoff and World Series. I was waiting for you to call me. I got very sad.
We called you up until the point where the Dodgers were eliminated, but then we thought you'd be on vacation at this point.
That's funny, lady. I'm pitching to myself, preparing for batting practice to go to World Series in many home runs. All right.
How do you pitch to yourself, first of all?
I throw a ball in the air and then whammo.
Now,
it goes flying in the air like airplane. I've been on an airplane before. I'm Manny Ramirez. I'm rooting for Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A.
Those of you that don't follow Manny's particular career... He has been taking a lot of crap lately because he goes to the showers early. The team goes on to lose. He seems to not care whether they win or lose. He said before, you know, we always next year. It's no big deal. So
sure,
people kind of what's happening?
Wow. Yeah.
I threw a lot of balls.
That is a lot of hits. Now, how are
you?
I
have two bats in my hand. I can swing two bats at one time.
Okay, how are you throwing the ball in the air if you have a bat in each hand and talking to us on the phone?
I use my pito.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
Now, Manny, you're not in. When we called you before, you were in the playoffs, and we would say, hey, are you ready for the game? And
I
When
you called me before, I was in the playoffs. I was in National League Championship Series. Now, it's the World Series.
Right,
yeah.
But the team that you play on, unfortunately for you, is...
Heads up, everybody. Here comes the Rocket. That one's going to the beaches because I love L.A.
The team that you're on, Manny, is not so much in the World Series. It's not...
We're saying is the Dodgers aren't playing.
Manny Ramirez is confused.
Right. It's the Phillies and the Yankees are playing tonight. There's no you don't have to work tonight.
But
because
Manny Ramirez plays for Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right, but they...
And I'm excited because I hit home runs.
Okay, but the Dodgers aren't in the World Series. That's the point. Your season is over. You need to save some of that practice for spring training next year when you start up again.
Manny, there's only two teams playing tonight, and you're not on either of them.
In my house, I have a cupboard, and in that cupboard, I have frosted mini wheats. I love them.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's fine. You can go... Home now and have some frosted mini wheats. You have nothing else to do today.
When I eat the frosted mini wheats, Manny Ramirez have to go to the poo poo.
All right. We'll let you get to that. because you're taking batting practice right now.
I'm excited. Yeah. Manny Ramirez is going to hit many home runs.
Well, you can hit a lot of home runs, but not in the World Series as your team isn't playing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Manny. We didn't want to be the ones that... We thought you knew that when the Dodgers were eliminated from the playoffs. We thought you understood that this is what happened next, is vacation.
Maybe that explains why no one else is here right now.
Well, that could be a part of it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well...
You know that they make peanut butter and jelly in the same jar now. All right, pretty lady.
Okay, Manny, you have fun.
Last night was a huge night. A lot of people have been counting the days until the premiere of the Michael Jackson This Is It movie. I didn't think that I knew anyone geeky enough to go to it.
Yeah.
Especially at opening night.
Yeah, me too.
But here comes Kevin wearing a Michael Jackson t-shirt today.
He's very proud.
This is my This Is It shirt.
What, how, who, why, when, what, got especially on the night that the Lakers opened, how did you end up across the street at the Michael Jackson movie?
I am not good with details. And while I love the Lakers, I heard that this was, of course, this movie premiere was happening, and we got invited. My wife wanted to go, and my kids wanted to go. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll go. I'm cool with that. And I didn't realize at the time, I shouldn't have checked I should have checked the schedule, because 50 feet away, the Lakers were getting their championship rings.
Aw, that hurt.
So that hurt. But yeah. I had already said yes, and it was a big deal, and we went down there. And I got to tell you, I was not geeky, like, totally looking into it. I was just, I would probably have gone just to kind of check it out and see what it was. It was amazing.
Really?
Yes.
Now, before you talk about the movie, was part of the draw for you and maybe for others, hey, we never got a chance to see Michael Jackson in concert, and this is the show that was going to be next, and I want to see what it would have been like? Is there a curiosity factor in what his health was like and what his demeanor was like in the months leading up to his death?
There was a little of both. Is that what would this show have been? And by the way, after seeing this movie, I think the show would have killed. And would have got, the reviews would have been through the roof. I mean, he was really on his game.
Wow.
See, now that's a surprise, because all we saw about Michael Jackson in the last couple of years before this tour was mounted was a guy who looked like he was sick and frail all the time. And we thought, he's not going to be able to perform one concert, much less 50.
And I'm sure a lot of people are like me in that they've never seen this side of Michael Jackson, ever. He's been for over a decade, hasn't he been? I mean,
just this
frail and weak
and
the circus freak and just like crazy, just out there. And you don't really think of him as the artist, you know? But I got to tell you, we have Ian Somerhalder on hold, so I'm just going to wrap it up. But the show was amazing. The movie is amazing. And... Yeah. They were doing 3D movies and stuff for Thriller, and they the dancers. They show a bunch of the choreography and stuff. If you like to watch Michael Jackson dance, or you like his old music, a lot of the Thriller stuff and Beat It and Billie Jean, that kind of stuff. It's really great.
Interesting.
And I never thought I'd say that.
Well, I am happy to hear that. I want to see that.
Well, the plan right now is it's only in theaters for 2 weeks, and we've been told every screening is sold out. So I don't know what to advise people that want to go. But
they're saying that they're adding times. I don't know how many.
Okay.
But we've heard this before, you know, every time. This is it.
This is a famous
thing. So this isn't it, then.
This is a famous thing when he came out and made the announcement. He said, this is really it. When I say this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
But apparently it's not it, and there are going to be some more screenings. And if you have any interest in Michael, the behind-the-scenes artist,
you never get to see, by the way.
Yeah.
There are 50 people rehearsing, and he'll stop the whole thing and go, no. What I need to do, I'm sorry, but what I need to do is you wait for my finger to point. I'm going to point, and then you do it, not a second before. And you go, whoa, I've never seen this side
of it. Really large and in charge.
Really large and in charge. Wow. Shocking.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear that. It doesn't make you any less of a geek for going.
I know.
And seriously, somebody ought to take that t-shirt off.
Oh, how dare you. This is my This Is It shirt.
All right, let's change topics real quick. We're very excited to welcome back to the program an actor that we talked to a couple times when he was on The Lost Show. And now he's one of the stars of Vampire Diaries over there on the CW Thursday nights at 8 with another new episode this week. Ian Somerhalder joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ian, how you been, man?
Hey, guys, awesome. Thanks for having me back.
No problem.
It's great to talk to you. I got to tell you, as much of a geek as you could hear on hold that Kevin was for the Michael Jackson movie, he's even more of a geek for anything vampires.
Yeah.
He is crazy for the vampire genre.
I've always loved vampire movies, TV shows, whatever they are, True Blood, everything. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know, I just am fascinated by it. And this Vampire Diary, I'm sorry, what?
They're fun.
Yeah, they are fun. That's true. And this Vampire Diaries on the CW, which is on Thursdays at 8 o'clock, is a really good show. I'm excited to say.
Glad to hear that.
Well, it was the highest. I guess it was the highest rated premiere that they've ever had on the CW, and I wasn't aware of the book series, just like I wasn't aware of the book series that inspired True Blood as well. But I mean, this series has had a huge fan base for a long time, right, Ian?
It has, and I think it came out in the early '90s, '91 or something. So it's had some time to amass a fairly large fan base, and we're lucky that there's some really great bases for some good. Great storylines, and we're just having a blast doing it.
Here's the storyline, which is not, I mean, it's not a new storyline, but it's well done, is that there's a vampire, and okay. He's interested in a chick, as always happens. And so he's been hiding for 1,000 years or whatever, so now he comes out and he's trying to act normal and fit in, and then his older brother comes, and his older brother's not as nice a vampire as he is.
And he's wrecking everything for him.
And he's effing stuff up.
Oh, Ian says it's all about the perspective. I think you got a defense for Damon, huh?
Well, no. I will say this. The guy, yes, definitely. Society would definitely deem him as being a bit of a sociopath, and he's a bit maniacal at times. But he, it's a funny thing about it. He has ill intentions, but for very righteous reasons. So it makes him a little dangerous.
And I got to tell you, right. It's kind of weird with all of the vampire stories that are out there with True Blood and everything else. They all kind of have to settle on the rules of the game.
Right.
As far as what things happen to vampires, what they can do, what they can't do. And in this particular one, they don't have to feed on human blood.
They
feed on animal blood or other things, but they're not quite as strong.
They're not quite as strong.
I gotcha.
And Ian
gotcha.
Still chews people. That still happens.
He wants to be the man.
Yes.
What kinds of vampire-y things have you had to do, or situations you found yourself in as an actor where you thought, okay, now I'm chomping down on a dude's neck? Have there been some instances on the set where you thought, this is a weird way to make a living?
It's so funny you say that. I've said that on a number of occasions. When I'm full speed, full vamp, like launching myself into some dude.
You want to rephrase that?
And it's pretty funny. That's when you sit there and you're covered in blood. And you're like, thinking to yourself, wow, what a strange thing it is I do, not just necessarily for a living, but as a hobby.
My life right now is bizarre.
Because you have to feel like you're giving a dude a hickey, right? I mean, that's basically what you're doing on set.
Well, it was... with extremely sharp teeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of a maniacal feeding frenzy edge, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
So at some point, the girl starts realizing that that they're vampires, and she says she wants to find out what the truth is. And by the way, don't ever ask the truth. This is just a lesson in life.
Really?
If you suspect somebody's a vampire, just keep it to yourself.
Just let it go.
Because it really never can go well. So this is, I think it's your brother, Ian, on the show?
Yeah.
Telling the girl that he's in love with, what's going on.
Everything you know and every belief that you have is about to change. Are you ready for that?
What are you?
I'm a vampire.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, no, he didn't.
There it is. Yeah, I can see how that would be a doubter for some people to find out.
Yeah, she did
not.
I'd
be like, you are not. Shut up.
Right, right. But,
that's just stupid.
But before that, it's really funny because, you do have to kind of get over the hurdle of, do they all buy into the fact that the vampires are real?
Well, listen, if enough creepy things happen, it's not such a hard sell.
So the part is Vampire Diaries, so she's writing in her diary. She's like, dear diary, I don't know what to make of this. It doesn't seem like this guy ever dies. And he seems to change into things that I can't explain. What could it be?
Kevin should be writing your press releases, it sounds like. Ian, yes. He's got it down.
I love my vampires, that's all.
This is Ian Somerhalder on the line, by the way. We're talking about Vampire Diaries on the CW. Let me ask you this, Ian. You're no stranger to success with the movies and TV shows you've done in the past, but seeing what the poor Twilight kids go through, have you experienced anything like that with this character that you play on the Vampire Diaries with the rabid female fans around the country?
It's been very cool. And if I were to say yes, that would only be that we're lucky and that we have, that people dig what we're doing. And so it would be a thankful and gratifying yes.
Do okay. People ask you to bite them?
That happens often.
Yeah.
It is funny. It's a very interesting dynamic, and it's an interesting question.
Now, do you go along with her, or just go, TV show?
It's a, I generally don't, because it's a problem.
What if they're hot?
It can become a problem.
But what if they're hot?
There are things called fathers.
Sure.
Oh, there's that.
Sure, yeah. There's that.
There are also things called boyfriends.
Sure.
And I'm not too sure that my lovely and amazing long-term girlfriend would appreciate if I was walking around fighting girls on command.
Gotcha. But it's in character. I mean, that's your job. Well,
truly, at some point I have to break character.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's true. You can't be promoting the show all the time, I guess.
Well, the CW has really been taken off this year with a bunch of new shows, and this is one of their best, I'm told. I'm going to definitely start checking it out. This Thursday night at 8 on the CW, it's called The Vampire Diaries. We've been talking to Ian Somerhalder. It's always great to catch up with you. Congratulations on the new show. I hope it continues to do well for you.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me back. I look forward to the next time.
Thanks for being on the air. Bye.
We need to hear about your run-ins with Megan Fox coming up in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike had his chance. He could have won her over, and he failed like he does. How did you do when you met Megan Fox? We're going to be taking your calls coming up in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Let me save you some time. Everybody else failed, too.
But as miserably as Mike?
Yeah, not as pretty bad. Much.
Really?
I bet they're all in the same neighborhood.
All right.
A lot of this.
Yeah, true.
Pretty much. Ah, good news, ladies. Apparently, Levi Johnson's going to be showing it all in Playgirl.
Yeah.
This is the dude that knocked up the...
This is Sarah Palin's the father star. Of former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's grandson.
Okay.
Yes. And why he is still in the public eye, I have no idea. But he's going to be on the early show this morning on CBS, talking about his posing for Playgirl. But also, and this is his quote, about the Sarah Palin that nobody knows.
Did they break up? He and
her
daughter?
Yeah, a long time ago.
So does he have an axe to grind? Is he going to talk bad about it?
He's trying to make money off it,
yeah, he's trying to sell his salacious details about the real Sarah Palin. You know, the Sarah Palin I knew before, it was her putting on a front. It was her being fake to me, and now everything's slowly coming out, and I'm hearing more things. I see the real Palin.
Wow.
And he's promising to reveal all. Here's the only problem, Levi. You're the only person we want to hear less from than the actual Sarah Palin.
That's true.
How embarrassing is the news business these days that the early show has the governor's daughter's ex-boyfriend on to discuss her?
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah. Don't even give him a platform. He's got nothing to say.
I think the Taliban may be right.
Shame on you, CBS.
I'm just saying. This could be a recruitment video.
Yeah. Look, they're talking to that guy on their news. Really?
Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig in the news. They currently, of course, are co-starring in A Steady Rain on Broadway. Apparently, the two of them...
Make it rain?
...are willing to strip down for a good cause. They took shirts that they wear in the show off their backs and put them up on auction last Sunday for a charity event to fight AIDS, and each shirt brought in $4,000 each.
Nice.
Raising money for charity. So I'm guessing they're doing the play shirtless now, because they have no more shirts.
No more things. And I must go
they
back.
Gave away all of them?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many shirts they have, but they gave one away, so right. Who knows. Billy Ray and his wife, Billy Ray Cyrus, once again under fire for their less than spectacular parenting skills.
Now what?
Have you seen the recent photos of their 9-year-old daughter, Noah?
No.
Apparently, they allowed Noah to dress up pretty much like a whore for a Hollywood Halloween party.
All sexy, really?
He's in fishnets, tiny black cocktail dress, red lipstick, made up. People are saying for a 9-year-old, really inappropriate.
All right, that's creepy.
Maybe mom and dad should have asked Noah to make another costume choice. Then Noah got up on the pole, and it was just...
Really?
Oh, wait, that might have been Miley. I'm not sure. People say maybe their parenting skills are being brought into question.
That has to be a battle that is fought every year during this week with kids who want to wear stuff
for
Halloween.
9-year-olds?
I'm saying the parents should prevail. The parents are right, but I'm saying I bet that's a pretty common problem in a lot of households.
I'm saying most 9-year-olds don't want to dress up like hookers.
Yeah, I think that's
most
true.
Most of them want to be Pocahontas or a butterfly or Princess Jasmine or something.
I guess when you grow up watching what Miley does,
that's
though.
That's what
guess
I'm saying.
Things are different.
Yeah, it's a big whore fest over there in the Cyrus household.
By the way, I saw a trailer for have you guys seen the trailer for the new Jackie Chan movie?
Three times.
With Billy Ray Cyrus and George Lopez in it.
Wow, that's got everything.
Wow. Yeah, it sure does.
How can I not buy tickets now?
Exactly.
How can I avoid buying tickets early?
That almost sounds bad enough that you're going to have to go.
No way, sir. Have you heard that lineup?
It sounds.
Did you hear what the man said?
I know, but I'm saying it's coming back around to being
screw
so bad.
Screw you.
Right. And this is like a remake, it seems like, of that Vin Diesel movie where he's a super agent or something who has to babysit kids. It's one of those deals where Jackie Chan is a CIA agent or something looking after kids. And
that's fresh.
It just looks like the worst movie ever made.
Oh, sweet heavens.
And then back
up. All those macho guys babysitting movies, all of them.
Right.
Commando Nanny, whatever that was, with Hulk Hogan, and Vin Diesel did one. And
Pacifier. Right?
Suburban Commando, yeah. Pacifier. Oh, no, no.
Yeah, they're all...
Bad concept.
Yep.
Yeah. Talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Joaquin Phoenix is 35 years old today. Julia Roberts celebrates her 42nd. Andy Richter is 43. Actress Lauren Holly, one time married to Jim Carrey, is 46 years old today. She's looking good these days. Daphne Zuniga, who was in Spaceballs and The Sure Thing, Melrose Place for a couple seasons. She's 47 years old. CEO of Microsoft, Bill Gates, celebrates his 54th birthday. And actor Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue turned 65 years old today. Every time we talk about Dennis Franz, I can't help but think about Kevin's interview
really?
With him on the red
carpet. Let's do this every other hour, at least.
I wonder what
We wanted to, when you were coming up, the first, we said, what should we ask Dennis Franz?
What?
We said, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way. Maybe I better just not ask it. We're going to talk about your ass some more, but maybe we won't.
At least we weren't in front of a crowd.
Right.
At the world premiere of a movie.
Right. At least that didn't
happen. That wasn't the case.
Dennis Franz mocked you openly.
And rightfully so.
You should have decked him, man.
Nope.
You should have taken him on. That'd be great.
I should have fallen on my sword.
You two wrestling around.
So to speak.
Tearing each other's clothes off. I'm sorry.
What are you watching?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the kind of exclusive that you're glad you're listening to the radio for today, because you can't buy tickets to see the VH1 Storytellers with Foo Fighters, but you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes or so. We'll give you a chance to call in and win those tickets if you want to see Dave up close and personal telling the famous stories behind his best love songs.
Oh, I wrote this song back in
Dave Grohl.
Oh.
Yeah, not the
Dave Grohl.
All right.
We put Psycho Mike on a microphone here because he needs to recap a story that he told us last week that really was an epic fail. I mean, everyone has dreamed. If you live in Los Angeles, you dream, and I'm no different when I'm down there. You dream, today's the day that I'm going to run into Megan Fox. Today's the day my life is going to change because I'm going to see Megan Fox. She's going to see me. Our eyes will lock and we'll be together forever. It doesn't usually happen to most of us. Psycho Mike, it did happen to you recently.
Sure did. I was at like a boutique clothing store.
I'll tell you one thing before you continue with your story, though, and that is when you finally run into somebody like that, it's amazing how little you have to say.
It's true.
I mean, you could just scour your brain for stuff, and you go, no, dumb.
Yeah?
Nope, dumb.
Yeah. And considering in your mind, when you're thinking about ahead of time, you have a plan that you're going to be all suave and cool, and that she's going to fall for you in an instant, and then you get face-to-face with her, and then all of a sudden you out.
Sure, because it doesn't even really matter how much you had to say.
Right.
As soon as you look at her, it all goes right out your toes. So it just kind of oozes out.
We're going to take your calls if you've run into Megan Fox at any point, anywhere. And how it went. But Mike was at a clothing store?
That's right, yeah. Just perusing, looking for stuff. And I turned the corner on one of the aisles, and I'm face-to-face with her, essentially. I just turn around the corner, and there she is.
1 foot from you.
Yeah. And I really capitalized.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Because she looked
at me. Tell us your game.
She looked at me, and not in an interesting way. She just looked at me as you would anybody else. And I said...
Yeah, I'm sorry. You said what?
So you just kind of mumbled a noise? You didn't
You
didn't say hi or...
No. And I thought I was going to say something.
Right.
As I really felt like this overwhelming charge of adrenaline as soon as I saw her. And that's what came out.
Right.
Now, in your mind, what were you thinking? I mean, that's what you ended up saying. But in your mind, did you have a plan that you just couldn't execute because of the pressure of the situation?
No. And listen, I'm not making excuses. I failed on every level. But I think that if I would have seen her across the store and from when I walked in and then had a chance to prepare, I could have done something good or had something to say.
You still would have
It was
nothing.
The fact that I turned the corner and was so shocked by it. I first saw her forearm. She was reaching for some clothes. And the first thing I saw, because I had a hat on, my head was down, was the
Marilyn Monroe tattoo. And right then, as soon as I saw it, it overwhelmed me because I said, this is Megan Fox. And my brain started like all the synapses started firing.
Right.
I look up and there's her beautiful face and I was enchanted by her eyes and came out.
Yeah.
Megan Fox, oh Megan Fox.
Imagine how fast your body was making sperm at that moment, by the way. Just think of, I mean, think about it. I mean, you probably gained like 5 pounds in a minute.
Stop it.
It's true.
What's happening right here?
Because the factory just goes into overdrive in that instance, I would imagine.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox.
Now,
let's all talk about Megan Fox. Foxy lady.
I know you've been beating yourself up ever since that instance because, you know, lightning's not going to strike twice. You're not likely to ever have an opportunity again. But I bet we can get some people who have met her and have made more of it than you did with,
Yeah.
And Megan is not, I mean, she's not a party girl. She's not out there all the time. It's not like she's, you know, Paris Hilton that you run into twice a week, whether you want to or not. Megan Fox is a little more private, but I guarantee, you know, she does things like what you're talking about, which is going clothes shopping, and there are people who have had encounters with her.
I'm sure she goes out to eat.
Yeah.
And there are waiters or waitresses. And by the way, that's the best case scenario because you have a reason to interact with her and you have something to say.
True.
And, you know, you can kind of get the ball rolling that way. And that way you don't just go,
Yeah. Waiter and waitress is ideal.
Best.
Also, I was thinking of if you go to the same gym as her. I'm sure she, you know, you see her at that.
She's got to be on full guard, though, at the gym. I mean,
no, but
with all those meatheads walking around looking at her.
Sure. But you definitely, like, accidentally come in contact with someone if you work out at the same gym, you know?
Right.
So, also, like, hairstylist, like the receptionist at, like, a hair or, like, an esthetician, because she probably takes pretty good care of herself. So I know you're out there. And I know there's people out there who did better than I did.
It's hard to believe that they did because you were so successful.
I know. I did follow her around like a stalker for the rest of the time while she was in there shopping, too.
Right. And you worked up something else to say, which
I just followed her around and watched her go into dressing rooms and stuff.
And then looked at the bottom half of her leg.
Yeah, but
because
she was taking her pants
see
off,
that
Lisa.
Through the door.
So, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number.
And I don't know. Obviously, nothing would have worked.
No,
because she was there
not.
With Brian Austin Green.
Yeah.
But something like, hey, are you going to come out and show us? You know, I don't know. Any kind of just a lighthearted joke to break the ice? Nothing.
I was silent until she left. And then I went up to all the sales girls. I was like, she wanted me, huh? Didn't she talk about me? Did she say anything about me?
Wow. That's rough.
You know what's funny is that once upon a time, there was a young man named Brian Austin Green who met Megan Fox for the first time, and he figured out a way to do something with that. He figured out a way to capitalize on that, and years later, they're still together.
Are you saying that Mike did not do that?
I'm saying that Brian Austin Green smoked you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, listen, and Bag definitely smoked me, but he also met Megan Fox pre-Transformers.
Sure.
There's a big difference. She was just a random hot chick. Trying to be an actress in L.A., and there's a ton of those.
And now she's Megan Fox.
Yes.
Yeah. So that makes you feel better?
It's somehow, some way.
All right, so celebrity run-ins, if you've ever had a chance to see, talk to, or interact with Megan Fox, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
All I'm saying is she'd be living with me by now if I had run into Megan Fox in that clothing store. That's the only point I make.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least I could have come up with something more than Psycho Mike did, which was...
Psycho Mike ran into Megan Fox in a clothing store, and he did not exactly spit game.
All right, so we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You've met Megan Fox. How did it go for you? Why don't we start with, let's start with Monique. She's on line three. Megan Fox doesn't seem discriminating in terms of which sex she would find attractive, so let's see how Monique did with her opportunity. Hey, Monique, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
What happened?
Well, I went to Universal Studios. I took the backlot tour, and I saw this very familiar-looking Jeep. I knew it was hers, so I pull out my camera. I start fumbling all over the place. I know it's her. We make eye contact. She sticks her tongue at me and speeds away.
She stuck her tongue out at you? Like?
Yeah, like she... Like,
nah, you're not going to get it.
Was she being funny?
It was okay. I mean, I was kind of bummed, but...
Did you follow her, and then you had sweet love?
I was taking the tour. I was on the tram, and she was,
pulling
out. But
that sounds really funny to me.
to think that she stuck out her tongue as an opening move. Like that was, here's what I've got in mind for starters.
Yeah, like she wanted you, exactly.
Come and catch me.
Let's play a game.
Yeah. All right. Oh, don't make it like that.
I got a picture of her car, though.
Yes.
Well, good for
all
you.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. All right. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Chris, you hold on. We're going to get to you in 1 second. Let's go to Megan, another Megan, or Mejan, maybe it is, on line one and see what's going on there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Oh, my God, I'm online. Okay. Yep. So I was in Santa Monica at the Promenade, and I was just walking out of Gap, and, you know, that Gap has, like, nothing, so I just was basically running out of there.
Right.
And I was walking towards Urban Outfitters, and then I saw these big, fat people circled up in, like, this little place in the middle of the Promenade. And I just walked closer because I wanted to see what's going on, mm-hmm. because usually there's, like, those little guys who do tricks there. So I'm like, oh, this would be interesting. Like
jugglers, so, or they're playing a keyboard, or they're doing some kind of talent.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
And so I saw them, and when I walked closer, I saw this girl in a mini skirt standing in the middle.
Yes.
And I saw a bunch of guys, like, holding bags on their, like, pants for some reason.
What are you talking
about? Those
weren't
bags.
So you're saying she had security guards and they were holding her shopping bags?
No. The reason why they were holding bags is because Megan Fox was there. So, you know, like, guys holding bags.
They were excited to see her, and they were trying to hide it behind the bags.
Ah.
Yeah.
Got it. Sorry.
In front of their laps.
Didn't catch that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Did you, not that you're not a phenomenal storyteller, but did you talk to Megan Fox, which was kind of the point of the call?
Oh, yeah. I said hi. Mm-hmm. And she said hi.
All right.
Well, you beat Psycho Mike.
Better than Psycho Mike.
You did beat Psycho Mike.
She destroyed him.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call.
I wonder what other story she was coming out of or going
into. Yeah, I was curious about the complete layout of the Third Street Promenade. Let's try Chris now on line four. He may have the best Megan Fox sighting so far. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You had her on your bed, young man?
Yeah, she came to my house for an open house because I was selling my house in Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a tour of my house with my real estate agent.
Yeah!
And you were there.
All right. And by take a tour of your house, that's code.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You mean your parents' house, though, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you're...
I'm 17.
Okay, this is the best thing in the world. Megan Fox comes to your house, sits in your bed, you're 17 years old. What did you do?
Well, I came over and I recognized who it was. I don't think my mom did.
Right.
My dad wasn't there either.
Right.
But so I went up and I said hi, but the real estate agent came by and took her, like, hey, do you want to go for a private tour? And so, yeah.
And you said, yeah, I'll come along.
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't, I don't know. Like, I didn't really talk to her on the tour as much.
So she was sitting on your bed and you walked up and said hi.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel,
that's
Mike?
Pretty great.
Chris, did you pretty sniff your
sweet.
Bed?
No, I haven't yet.
What's wrong with you? But you thought about it every single night since then for about 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
More than 5 minutes. Well, it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes at your age, and with a Megan Fox involved, it should be a lot faster than that. All right, dude. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try one more. How about Dave? Dave is on line six on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see what he's got.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey. I actually talked to her twice. I ran into her twice out in Los Angeles.
This is
this is the King of Mexico calling, right?
Yeah.
This
sure.
is Dave, who works on our show in the other office, 10 feet from us.
Oh, Dave.
It was awesome. You know, I said hi to her, and then we talked about Paramore, and then we talked about baseball. It was good talk.
You're on the red carpet, but that wasn't exactly bumping into her.
Yeah, I totally ran into her. I was at Hollywood and Highland, and I said, "Hey, Megan Fox," and she's like, "Hey."
Right, but you were there with the radio station. You had a microphone. You were there, and she was doing an interview press line, Dave.
Sure, but she stopped for me, and we talked.
Do we have time for Dave's opening line for his opener? Because really, everyone could learn a little something from this.
I think we do.
Hey, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Well, yeah.
That was his opener and closer.
Yeah. I got to tell you, having heard Dave's opening line, I still think Mike might have won that battle.
No. No way. Dave got some words out. You know, at least a word. Mike, you fail.
Yeah.
On every level.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, King.
Yep.
Bye. We turn our attention to something very special that's happening at a super secret location on a super secret night this week. We're talking about Foo Fighters taping a VH1 Storytellers. We are taking calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to be a contestant as we play Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert!
Yeah! So, it's a little bit of a girl fight today. As I understand, it's going to be Lisa, you versus Miss Cleo. Is that right?
That is right.
That is correct, yes.
All right. Kevin, you want to explain to folks how the game is played who maybe haven't heard the title fight before?
The answers are all song titles from Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Song titles from Foo Fighters. They're going to have to give you clues, but they can't use any of the words in the titles. So they'll have to use different words, and you're going to have to come up with what they're talking about and answer with a song title from Foo Fighters. You have 45 seconds. If it's a tie, the people who get there the fastest win, and you can say pass and go back to it later if you'd like.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Let's meet our contestants. We've got Karina first. She is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Karina. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Okay. And we're also going to say hello to Ami. Ami is on line 7. Hey, Ami. You getting ready to play here?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay. All right. Hey, Karina, since we're going to make you go first, we're going to give you your choice of who you would like to give you the clues. Are you going to want to hear from Miss Cleo or from Lisa?
Lisa.
Okay.
All right. Now, you have my clues.
Now, here's the thing. We haven't let them see which titles they have yet because we don't want them to work on it ahead of time.
And
so,
I love working on it ahead of time.
I know. Well, it makes it a lot easier.
It sure does.
All right. So here's your
All right.
All right. So again, remember, Karina, you can pass if you don't have any idea, but you try to get as many as you can in 45 minutes. They're all Foo Fighters song titles. All
45
right.
45 seconds.
Okay.
45 seconds. Yes. All right. Here we go.
Ready? Go.
Okay. This is when you take lessons to be a pilot. You are. You want to do what?
Be a pilot.
Yeah. What do pilots do?
Fly.
Right, and you're taking
fly high.
What?
Say it again. Say it again.
A Foo Fighters song. It's a Foo Fighters song title.
I can't hear what she's saying.
She's not saying it right.
Okay, pass. This is a tool that an ape uses. A plumber uses it on pipes. It's a tool.
Oh my God! Pass!
You suck.
Okay, this is this means dead on arrival. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the worst contestant in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show—not just of title fight, but of any game ever.
Karina, you are a standout.
Do you know the titles of the songs?
Karina, what do What do pilots do, Karina?
Fly.
Yes.
Okay. And when somebody teaches them, what are they doing? They are
learn to fly. She's not going to get it.
Learn to fly.
Learn to fly is the song.
Oh my God.
And then monkey wrench.
Monkey wrench, a tool that an ape uses. A monkey wrench.
It's okay. You got nervous.
You are,
Karina.
You are terrible.
She got nervous, you guys.
You're a bad person. All right. Don't hang up, though, because, look, we don't know anything about Ami. Ami could be over also, and we could end up with a tie. So let's see how this goes.
Short bus tie.
Ami, the good news is there's not a lot of pressure on you. You just have to get one to win, and you have 45 seconds. So if you don't like one, just go ahead and pass and go on to the next one. So Miss Cleo is going to be presenting to you. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Ami.
Here we go.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
Pass.
Oh, God. When you're fake, you are
the pretender.
There you go. We got a winner, ladies and gentlemen. We got a winner.
She destroyed.
The clock one was times like these is what Cleo was looking for. But that was a very tough one. But you didn't need to know it because you came up with the pretender. So you, my dear, are going to see Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins and company Foo Fighters Storytellers. Congratulations. Karina, good luck with you in life, my dear.
I've got some tickets to give away before we get into the showbiz beat.
Yeah.
Tickets to the world premiere of 2012. The new disaster flick starring John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Woody Harrelson. It's in theaters on November the 13th. But if you're one of the first 5 callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will get to go to the world premiere November the 3rd. Call in now and you'll be one of the lucky winners. First 5 people get through.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 752.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, I don't know what this is, but you requested a piece of tape to get us started with the Showbiz Beat this morning?
What's going on down at the end of that table with Omar? What's all that craziness down there? I have no idea what's going on. Yeah, I couldn't help but hear your little game you were playing earlier for those Foo Fighter
title fight
tickets. Yeah.
Worst contestant in the history of the game.
And by the way, the people giving the clues weren't the strongest ones you've ever had either.
Hey.
I don't know who those people
are.
Lisa
did well.
She did fairly well for herself. Yes,
considering she got out two clues
and she hadn't seen the titles.
Lisa
before,
is right? always so. Good at this game.
Wow.
I think she's good and Ralph's exceptional, but Miss Cleo is at the other end of the spectrum.
But what happened with her clues?
I don't know.
Times like these, yes. Right? And what she was saying, we thought in the other room she was having a stroke live on the air. We thought we'd have to call the medics.
Let's hear that again.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
I thought it was that beauty pageant contestant talking about why people can't find Africa on a map.
Was rough.
So she said clock. She wanted to get times
clock
out of that.
And a clock such as and
well,
similar
I
to.
I think she moved similar to was clock. Like. She was trying to get like. And those, she was saying, was to
but
contrast
you have to
with
speak
these.
In a
right.
sentence to people.
Yes.
You can't just
yes.
shout out bits and pieces of English language.
Plus, you gotta get one at a time, I think. I don't think you can go clocks and not those, but...
You know, like, clock.
Whoa, I'm confused.
The clock, and not too similar than also to it, such as...
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock. And her contestant won.
One.
Yep.
Yeah. It's wrong. Wrong on every level.
Wow.
Begin with South Carolina.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that clock. U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
Clock.
Because some people out there in our nation those don't have maps.
Clock.
And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa
clock.
And the Iraq, everywhere like such as.
Clock.
And
yeah, you're right. It's very Cleo-like. You're right about that, I think.
Clock, similar to.
If you and Stephen had babies, they'd be so good looking.
They would.
Because Stephen's all tan.
Well, Kevin, you've got celebrity friends who share your love for the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah.
Apparently Taylor Swift and Taylor Lautner were together at a Kings game this weekend, all hot and heavy. People were watching them just go at it.
All right.
In the stands. On the Kiss Cam, whatever they put up there at the Staples Center when those
they
guys
do that at the out. Kings games.
Yeah, anyway, apparently they were all dolled up looking very much in love, and people said it was cute to see them together. So congratulations to the Taylors.
Was Taylor Lautner still dressed up like a dog, like in the Twilight movie?
Yeah. He's not a werewolf. He's just a wolf.
He's a wolf.
He's a shapeshifter, and he chooses the wolf because that is what from his people did. Shut up, all you twitards who are trying to correct me. No, he's just a shapeshifter because his long line of history, his ancestors, would kill yourself.
Look, I haven't read the book or seen the movie, but he plays a German Shepherd, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
That's what I've seen in the trailer. He plays a German Shepherd.
Giant wolf.
More stories coming out from behind the scenes of the David Letterman show.
Uh-oh.
A former writer for the show named Nell Scoville, who went on to create the series Sabrina the Teenage Witch and wrote for other TV shows like Monk, Murphy Brown, and Coach. She has written a story for Vanity Fair saying, although Dave didn't personally come on to her, the sexual tension on the show caused her to leave. How ugly is this broad?
Wow.
Considering he chooses not attractive women.
She is a beast. And she's so bitter because no one on that show wanted to bang her. And she quit because her feelings were hurt. Let me read between the lines of her story. Did female staffers have access to information and wield power disproportionate to their job titles? Yes. Did that create a hostile work environment for me? Yes. Did I believe these female staffers were benefiting professionally from their personal relationships? Yes. Did that make me feel demeaned? Completely, she writes. Am I 250 pounds with thick glasses and bad teeth?
Did she write that?
Yes. Have I never been touched by a man? Completely.
I never liked the people who interview themselves. I'm not a big fan of that.
Does she have a lot of cats?
Oh, she, you know she's terrific. What do you think?
I have had sex with women who work for me on this show.
Right. Not why the do fat you think ones. One of the not characters her. On Sabrina the Teenage Witch was a talking cat? Why do you think?
Oh, good point.
Because Mr. Jangles talks to her when she's not getting laid.
Wow.
Woman's a beast. You can just tell.
How'd that go?
I'm telling you. Add Weezer in the news. Oh. They just recorded a five-song performance for AOL's Sessions series. You ever, I guess you guys aren't AOL users. I'm an AOL nope. user. And the Sessions series is awesome. They bring different musicians into the AOL studios just specifically to record live versions of their popular music for AOL subscribers.
Right.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, Weezer just did one, and Rivers Cuomo called up Kenny G and asked him to sit in.
Kenny G,
for those of you who don't know, is a guy who plays smooth jazz. He's a saxophonist. For many years, he's had lots of hits.
Playing it's a clarinet or something, isn't it?
It's a
something
saxophone.
Even weaker than a saxophone. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, but it's not the bell saxophone.
Oh, it's an alto sax.
It's an alto sax. Okay. It's straight. And
what did he have him do? Play that?
Whale solos. Here's the thing. Kenny G said to him, I don't really know any of your music, Mr. Weezer.
Right.
He says, I know that one song about the sweater. He said, but that's all I really know. And Rivers said, doesn't matter. You just come in and you will be just blowing a solo.
Oh.
And is that code?
Kenny came in and they said, just winged it. So you can see it on AOL Sessions if you're so
that's
inclined.
Odd. I like that.
It is odd. But that's how Rivers rolls.
It does, yeah.
He's just kind of out there.
He lets fans up on stage with him.
Yeah, he's a good man. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Ben Harper is 40 years old today, talking about talented singer-songwriters. Julia Roberts celebrates her 42nd birthday. Andy Richter is 43. Lauren Holly celebrates her 46th birthday. Daphne Zuniga, who was recently seen on Melrose Place with my lovely Katie Cassidy, by the way.
She's yours?
I miss Katie Cassidy. Yeah. She's 47 years old today. Bill
Katie
Gates.
Cassidy is 47
no,
today?
Daphne
she looked fantastic
Zuniga.
Yesterday.
Daphne Zuniga. One of the greatest last names ever in the history of man, by the way. Zuniga.
Yeah.
Sounds like a planet. She's 47. Bill Gates is 54. Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue is 65 years old today. And Joaquin Phoenix turns 35 years old today. Kevin, you know who Joaquin Phoenix is, don't you?
Absolutely, without a clue.
What was Rivers Cuomo talking about? Why did he call
nothing.
Just to say hi to her?
I'll tell you this, nothing. Like, he really is so quiet and so shy. And
what's his... Is he full of crap? What is his deal? I mean, I think this whole thing where he's going to go into music and blah, 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 it's all just like a video that they're making or a movie or something.
I don't know. What is his deal? What's he saying?
What are you talking about? Know. We're talking about Rivers Cuomo.
Well, oh, he's talking about...
Who was I talking about?
You're talking about
Joaquin
Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
See, Kevin knows who Joaquin Phoenix is.
You guys are editing.
He just doesn't know who Rivers Cuomo is. Apparently.
It would be so weird to be in Kevin's brain and have a name be said on the radio and have no idea which person you're talking about. That must just be crazy.
No. It's worse because I think I know who you're talking about, but it's not the right person.
At least you did a monologue for 3 minutes on him.
I mean, that's not fun.
Your brain must be always... You're the mouse looking for the cheese in the maze all the time.
Correct.
Wow.
It's not enjoyable.
And it's random, too. I mean, if I say the words President Obama, for all I know, you're thinking of, Randy Couture, right? I mean, there's no connection, it seems like, between the people.
But then once I have the thought of Randy Couture, now I'm completely locked in. There's nothing else I can think about. I don't know why.
God bless you. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Rise Against coming up, and because you demanded it one more time, Modest Yahoo, King Without a Crown, coming up before the end of the hour, which I would rather listen to than whatever it is that Psycho Mike is pointing at you to play
hey.
Right now.
Because you're so wrong.
I have a great
you're
deal of concern.
So wrong.
Every time Mike comes in and we haven't heard it, and he says, hey guys, I whipped a little something up for you in the other studio, I just know what that means, and that's that after the show, we're in a meeting with the boss.
That happens
that's
a
what
lot.
It means.
That does happen a lot.
It does happen a lot.
And Mike has driven us into the arms of lawyers many times. And Mike's done a lot of songs that we're no longer able to even reference, let alone play.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A great point. By the way, are we not even allowed to say, hey there, that one? We're not even allowed to say the name of that one, or we are?
That's
we can still say the name.
I think we could talk
we
about
say
those.
The name.
There's one in particular that we can't even ever reference.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the problem with Mike. And God bless Mike, and I love him to death, and he's very talented, but he does nothing but get us in trouble because he says, ooh, hey there, Delilah, that's a lame song, but wait till you hear Hey There, Vagina. The kids are going to love it.
Yeah.
And then he brings it in and we play it on the air, and the next thing you know, we're sitting home without pay.
But wait, the kids loved it.
Right. The kids loved it, but we get in trouble every time we play one of his stupid songs, though. That's what I'm saying.
He's had songs that he's done that have never come out.
They get shot down like Brown Christmas. Never, that one never came out. That's a shame.
Yeah, it was on the website for about a minute.
No,
and then
it wasn't.
Was gone.
No, it wasn't.
No, it
I
was
mean,
never,
yeah,
it,
it never even made it to the website. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
remember Paper Stains? Never played it.
And this Cleo song, Paper Stains, that we never ever played, not even one time, because we'd get sued if we did.
Right, that one. But we have a new one, and I don't know if you've heard the song.
What about the Fireflies one, by the way?
That'll be out this week.
Oh, no, the other one.
The original Fireflies parody that we could never bring to the air. That's true, Bean. Thank you. I forgot about that.
Here's
one.
What happened. Psycho Mike had an idea for Fireflies, and we said, look, here's the deal. You've been doing nothing but getting us into trouble with your parody songs. Make this as innocuous as possible. I mean, come up with a Fireflies parody that, because we wanted to make fun of how lame that song is, come up with a Fireflies parody that no one could have a problem with. Make it as tame as could possibly be. So he came up with something that was squeaky clean, and it got shot down, never aired one time, couldn't put it on the website, does not exist.
I believe the lawyer's response was, this is why rules were invented.
Yeah. here's the real problem is that we work for a giant company, and they now are weary, and they want to hear everything, and they want it to be okayed before we play it.
Right.
So we have to send it to lawyers. Now, lawyers are sitting in offices, and they don't care whether it's funny. They don't care whether it's entertaining. They care whether one person somewhere might possibly be offended. And that standard is absurd, but it's the one that we have to live with.
This time, guys, I swear I'm not going to get you in trouble.
You ran this one by everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, and I was really excited because I hear this song on like all the hip-hop stations, this LMFAO Lil Jon song.
Endlessly. Shots.
The Shots song.
For those of you that don't know it, this is the song. It's Lil Jon and it's LMFAO.
Yeah! When I walk in the club, all eyes on me. I'm with the Party Rock crew, all drinks are free.
By the way, that's every LMFAO song.
It is.
We love Patron. We came to Party Rock. Everybody is on. Shots, 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 shots.
I don't know what they're singing about. He's talking about Patron and drinking, and then the chorus is literally shot, 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 shots.
And it's funny the way that is produced. And Lil Jon has made his bones as a great producer, but he, it's like being hit over the head with a hammer every time I hear that song. I get an instant headache when I hear shot, 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 shot.
Right,
stop it already.
Right, but that's why it needed to be changed.
And Omar is like we're like Bernie Taupin and Elton John. We work as a team.
You know?
Yeah. Well, once we get together, it really that's how the magic is made.
Here's all I know is that you walk into the studio about every other day, and Omar and Mike are laying on the floor laughing. They can't breathe. That's all I know.
And that's pretty much what happened with this one. We knew we had to make a parody of that Shot
of
song.
Shot, 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 shot,
and I present to you this parody, and I really think it's good, guys. There's no way that...
I'm standing by it. I think it's good as well. I've heard it, and I'm giving it my seal of approval. And I don't think we're going to get in trouble.
And it's mature.
Really?
This for Psycho Mike, I think it really turns a corner of maturity.
Huh. I mean, I hope you're right, because Lisa and I have not heard it yet, and we don't want to be dragged down into whatever is going to come with the fallout of this song once the people
Mike
hear it.
Has occasionally been known to focus a little too much on pee-pee poo-poo.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's been one of my major problems
with
Mike's
songs. Right.
And I'm sorry. I am who I am. But I think I wanted to go a little more highbrow this time.
But Mike, after I Will Follow You After You Fart, I said to you specifically, no more songs about pee-pee poo-poo. Remember, that was the last straw for me.
But like Kevin said, I think I've really turned a corner. This is something new for me. It's a departure. It's a little more highbrow.
I think you're going to be impressed. I think you're going to go, wow, Mike, you're growing up.
I'm willing to listen. I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to hear what he's got.
All right, here we go.
Yeah! If your stomach's playing tricks on you, you got that indigestion. Don't reach for no Pepto-Bismol. Grab another burrito. Let your ass sign. Embrace it. Grab your pimp cup. Spread your cheeks. Yeah! When my stomach's upset, you best plug your nose. My ass packs a punch of lethal blows. I cut the cheese. I drop them bombs. I'm making chemical warheads like Saddam. Fox, 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 everybody! Fox, 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 everybody! I'll clear a room. Give me a chance. I burned a hole right through my underpants. So eat some beans. You can join in. Just
grab your cheeks, cut the cheese, break some wind. Yeah! Everybody! If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, let it the f*** about your ass.
That's enough. That's...
No, it's a good part. It's a good part.
Let's stop that.
Wait, listen right here.
Okay. Heard it. Heard it. That's a lot of heart right there. Wow, he's holding that note.
That might be your best work.
Thanks.
That might be your best work.
Do you guys remember when you started working here and you first heard Nirvana? Like the first time the music director ran across your desk?
Yeah, and you go, wow, this is going to change the world.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now.
I do too.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Nicely done. Bean?
About as funny as Hitler.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the latest from Rise Against Cult Savior, which is good. Don't get me wrong. I got nothing but love for the Rise Against boys. It's no farts. That's
right.
All I'm saying.
That's true.
It's no farts. All right. Halloween. Oh, man. I haven't played any Halloween spooks for you today, Kevin.
That's too bad. That's a shame. I have the music. Don't worry about it. I have some music.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Halloween, as you know, is this weekend, and that means it's the time of year where everybody starts bringing out their scary stories. Now, a close personal friend of ours, Russ Leatherman, who you know and love as Mr. Movie Phone, he also, of course, is the genius behind 6-second reviews for movie reviews in 6 seconds, he tells us that he had a real-life ghost story that we need to hear about on the radio. So we're going to take him at his word and invite him back to the Kevin and Bean Show, this time not to give us a movie review, but to tell us a true story from his life. Hey, Russ, how are you?
By the way, if this story sucks now,
yeah,
like I'm doomed. You set me up to fail.
Well, here's the thing about ghost stories. Most of them are lame, and we're all pretty skeptical.
Yeah.
And you hear ghost stories and go, okay, you heard a noise. All right. Maybe, maybe not. There's nothing like really... that has any substance.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a real story.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a real story. But first, let me just say, on my way to ABC 7 this morning,
yes,
I heard you nerding out a little bit, having a little bit of a nerd fit about the new Michael Jackson movie.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I want to tell you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I saw it last night.
Yeah.
You are right on the money.
Oh, how about that?
Wow.
I was not
expecting
it too,
that.
Huh?
Here is the thing about the movie, and I know we'll move on, but like Kevin was talking about, the staging for this movie must have cost a fortune. Like, I understand why they had to get this thing out there and try to recoup some of these costs, because it was just amazingly staged. I never thought I'd say, if there was a Michael Jackson concert, I'd want to go see it.
Yeah.
I'd want to go see this concert.
This show would have blown people's minds, and I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, it might have been the best concert of all time had it happened. So, anyhow,
well,
I'm in. I like that a lot.
Right.
The thing that I was most surprised about was to hear Kevin talk about how healthy Michael Jackson was and how forceful he was in dealing with the dancers and the people working on the show, because the impression we've had of him for so long is just he's this frail guy who can barely get through a day, not a guy who's operating at the top of his powers.
Well, and you know that they had 100 hours of footage or something like that they sifted through to get, what was it, Kevin, an hour and 45 minutes,
yeah,
something like that. So
yeah,
you know that they chose, you know, the footage to put him in the best light, to be kind of a tribute to him. But I was just blown away by the staging, the 3D movie they were doing, the Thriller stuff. Like I said, I never thought I would have wanted to see a Michael Jackson concert ever in my life.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because when I was coming out, I was like, oh, the guys are going to so make fun of me. They're so going to mock me.
We can go down together.
All right.
All right.
Hey, how about that? Hitting somewhere.
I want to hear Russ's story here. Now, this is going to be something you're going to tell us that convinced you that it was, in fact, a ghost.
Yeah, and I have no reason to embellish this story, anything to it. It is just an actual event really happened.
And just before you tell your story, then we're going to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. But again, it has to be like, not just, oh, I heard a noise.
Well, you know what? We've talked about the movie Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
And
we
talked about some people thinking that's the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if you've had some sort of paranormal experience, and I know that people have, that's the kind of movie that will just send you through the roof. And so here's my paranormal event. I used to live in a little town in Wyoming that my mom and my stepdad, my mom still lives there, my stepdad doesn't live there anymore. He died. He died of brain cancer, right? So I'm telling the brain cancer story, so why would I make crap up?
Yeah,
you don't
good
make
times.
Brain cancer stories. So anyhow, he died of brain cancer. My whole family went to this little town in Wyoming for the funeral. By the way, little town in Wyoming, creepy enough on its own.
Sure.
Right? Like, super creepy. So we had the funeral, and, you know, after the funeral, what we did, and I guess everybody does this, you go to the house, and you tell stories, and you drink a little wine, and you just kind of talk about the person and their life, etc. So we're sitting around, we're having some wine in the living room. Adjacent to the living room is the garage, and my stepdad was like an avid woodworker. He used to make chairs, and he used to make, you know, all sorts of wood things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting in the living room, having some wine, talking about him. We hear the table saw in the garage go off, right? And if you've ever heard a table saw...
Yeah, it's a distinctive, loud, piercing noise.
No mistaking
right.
it for anything else. It's
right.
a table saw.
So it started on its own.
Table saw, just we hear it going off in
okay.
the garage.
All right.
We all look at each other like... Okay, that's super weird, but no one's going to the garage, right? We just sort of...
Really?
Well, not the first time. No okay. one's going there. We just pick up the wine and start drinking some more. Table saw goes off again, and it's going for, I don't know, what seemed like forever, probably 30, 45 seconds.
Right.
Wow.
It goes off. We're saying, okay, so I'm not going. So I decide to go in the garage, which, again, adjacent to the living room, clear sound, no mistaking it for anything else. I go in the garage, and it's dark. I turn on a light. I see the table saw. It's not going, right?
Right.
It is stopped, but I want to see what the deal is. So I put my hand on the motor just to see if it was running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put my hand on the motor. It was running. The motor is hot.
Okay.
Okay? I look at the power outlet. The saw is unplugged.
What?
The Dude. Saw is unplugged.
Hey, that's creepy.
Dude. Wow.
Unfrickin' plugged. And again, I have no reason to make that up. I mean, there might be a perfectly logical explanation for it. I can't think
was
of
there
any.
A giant wood sign that said, "Hey, son, I'm okay."
Maybe it was. Honest to God, it was
unplugged. That's what you're saying.
It was unplugged, and it was
and also warm as if it had just been running.
Yes. And there's no explanation for it.
Wow.
We talk about it. My sister and I were just talking about it a few days ago, because you know how stories tend to change over
sure.
time. I'm going, you know, let's just confirm that this is exactly what happened. And it is. We sit around and talk about it. And so I am, you know, I have firsthand experience that there is some sort of paranormal activity.
All right. Now, and you believe you've taken it to the next level, that you believe it was a message from beyond the grave from the recently deceased.
Had to be. No one, first of all, no one else ever touched that equipment,
yeah.
ever. Anybody, ever. And it just couldn't have been anything else. And the freaking thing was unplugged.
It was unplugged.
Yeah. All right. The question you have to get asked every time you tell the story, and I'm going to ask on behalf of those listening to the radio who can't, how much wine was being consumed?
That is a great question.
Not enough. But let me tell you, I drank like a mofo for the next 6-8 hours.
Do you, because now you have to interpret, you know, what went on.
Yeah.
Everybody has to interpret whatever they see. They have to go, okay, either that's a coincidence or something. You believe that was your dad.
There's no coincidence. There's nothing that could have happened other than him sending us some sort of signal. I don't know if that signal was that, hey, I'm okay, or hey, I'm still around, or,
really want to make something.
I need to build a chair.
Wow, that's weird.
I don't know, but that's super weird. And that's why, like I was saying, if you go to a movie like Paranormal Activity, and you just sort of allow yourself to believe that this junk happens, that movie will scare the crap out of you.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
all
good
right.
to know. All right.
Russ, I got to be honest. Your story did not disappoint, man. That is very, very creepy. And I certainly can't think of any other possible explanation. So thank you very much for sharing it with us today.
Awesome. My pleasure. Have a great Halloween, you guys.
You're the best. Thank you.
All right.
Check out Mr. Movie Phone or 6secondreviews.com for What's Up with Russ Leatherman.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. We took a scientific survey yesterday, by the way, and asked the kids about Halloween spooks, and they said yes.
Right, but we have something else to do.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Halloween is Saturday, Kevin.
Right. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
So we have people on hold.
Ooh, ooh, ah.
We already have a couple of days to play it.
Halloween spooks.
I'm just saying
outside
now.
Outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Yeah, okay. Sing it if you know it.
I wish that the children could see.
Right then.
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
here's the deal. This is the time of year where everybody brings out their ghost stories, and most of them, frankly, are pretty lame. We got a good one a few minutes ago from our friend Russ Leatherman. He actually had a paranormal activity experience that he believes was a message from the other side. That's what we're looking for. Not that you heard a strange noise and never figured out what it was. Your call's at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Carol, for instance, on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show and see what Carol is up to. Hey, Carol, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy Halloween.
Thanks, you too.
What happened?
Okay, well, about 6 years ago, I was living in Corona. I had a nanny. There's 3 kids in the house. So we used to see a man around the house, but this one time, she went to sleep. She said she felt someone had laid on top of her and started choking her.
And choking her?
Whoa.
Yeah, choking her. And then I tried to pull the covers off of her. She said she tried to fight back, but there was nothing to fight back to.
Okay, but wait, let me just interrupt. So this is all her telling you what happened, and you don't have any firsthand knowledge of it?
Well, no. Well,
okay.
The thing is that this ghost has been like around for like 10 years. It followed us to the next house. But wait, let me finish. She it pulled her off the bed. She came in the morning like almost scared, like almost crying, scared, like. Something attacked me and I couldn't fight it off. And I didn't believe her. I'm not a ghost believer. But
right.
I looked at her neck. She had hand marks on her neck.
All right, now you're talking ghost stories.
But ghosts don't have hands.
Yeah. So I was like, well, why? And I was like, well, could she do it herself? The way the fingerprints are situated, she couldn't have done it.
Okay. Let me ask you this: How many times in total has this happened to her?
Once,
okay.
Yeah, just once.
Okay. So it's not the type of thing that happens so often that she could have set up a video camera to show what happens when she gets, quote-unquote, pulled off the bed, right?
No.
Now, what other contact do you have with this ghost that you said it's following you for 2 different places?
Well, I just see a man, like, walking around the house, sitting on the couch. Some people would actually mistake it for my dad.
Does the man look like a ghost like we would see on TV? You could see through it kind of thing?
Well, it's like a silhouette.
Yeah.
It's a dark silhouette.
Okay. Are you a drinker?
Yeah, I think Carol's having a few. I think that's what's going on here.
Do you drink?
Oh, no. I don't even believe this, but one time I was sleeping in my house, in the new house, and I felt the covers pull off of me. And I didn't want to freak out because I see in the movies, every time you freak out, it gets worse.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you have a horny ghost, you got to know how to handle it.
Exactly. Hey, maybe he's good. Maybe you shouldn't protest quite so much. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
Well, that sounds like that's accurate. Yeah. Why don't we try Lisa, by the way, had government intervention into her ghost situation.
Oh.
She's on line 8. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning.
What happened?
So we have the typical, you know, you see the silhouettes, the water faucet turning on and off. We had the cold, the TV turning on and off. But what really got us when the cable company kept leaving messages, I thought they wanted to sell us something until they knocked on our door. And he shows up and he says, the FAA has tagged your home and there is a frequency coming that is actually being like with the airplanes are getting it.
Interfering with airplane transmissions.
Yes, exactly.
So do you have to turn off your laptop every single time a plane takes off?
So the guy comes in and he looks like a Ghostbuster. He has his little machine and he's going around. He was there for about 3 hours.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this a guy from the FAA or this is the cable guy?
This was the cable guy.
Okay.
So he changes all the cables, and I'm downstairs in the room where we have most of the activity, and he walks in, and he's like, it's in this room, then it's not in this room, and then it's in this room, and the TV turns on by itself. And he totally freaks out, right?
Yes.
And so
yeah.
he changes everything, and then I said, what does this mean? I said, you know, we've had all this stuff going on, electrical, should I just get a new TV? And he said, no. He said, I would move. And he said,
really?
And he said, no, wait.
Wait, so he ran out?
Yes, he left. He was so freaked out, he left. And so then I called back and I said, I don't understand it. And they explained to me that there's absolutely nothing they can do. There's something coming from our downstairs room that's interfering with the airplanes. we cannot fix it. So now my home just has that note. So every
let me ask you this question. I don't doubt the cable guy's perception, but he's not an electrician. Is it possible? And I don't know much about electricity either. But that somewhere you got some wires crossed where you're creating some sort of weird polarity or something like that. I mean, have you had it checked out by an official electrician?
Well, there's so many other things, too, that we're totally convinced. That was just the icing on the cake.
Oh, so that was just one of many.
And wow.
No, did you many.
Did you end up moving?
What?
Did you end up moving?
No, it was still there.
Still there?
We moved my daughter into that room, and everything stopped for like 2.5 years, and now we just moved her out, and it's back.
All right, let me see if I understand. The room where all of this supernatural activity is coming from, you moved your daughter into.
Yes.
That was the choice you made.
Well done.
You know the bad room downstairs? You're going there.
Exactly. And then we had a priest come and check her out because she would flop around in her bed. And she was so loud.
Okay, this is turning into a movie now. This is crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm just disappointed the guy didn't get to lay some cable. That's all. That's
well, my cable.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that was the
point. All right. Thank you very much. Listen, we're out of time for right now. Let's pick this up again tomorrow. It is Halloween week. Lots of people have ghost stories, and some of these on hold sound really convincing.
Yeah.
But it's hard to source without hearing from the people. So you want to try this again tomorrow and see how it goes? Yeah. All right.
All right. Nice job, everybody.
Good morning, Saturday.
Ralph Garman is here on a Wednesday with yet another look at the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about, Ralph?
I still can't get over Miss Cleo. I'm sorry. I can't get past it. We played a game here, I don't know, about an hour ago?
Yeah.
For Foo Fighter, storyteller tickets with Foo Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Cleo's trying to give clues to one of our listeners to get them to guess the title times like these.
Yes. Yes.
And the series of words that came out of her mouth are like she's translating in her head someone speaking a foreign language who is also insane.
That's true.
Like she's working at the UN and she's getting it through a headphone. Uh-huh. Time. Yeah. Such as. Similar to. clock. Just listen to her.
All right.
A clock with a clock and it's those and similar to clock.
That happened.
Well, I'm not the only one obsessed with it. Apparently, I just found out that she is sweeping the club scene.
Is that right?
There's a dance remix already.
Oh, you're kidding.
It. No, it's true.
Can't wait to hear it.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and with a clock, and it's and clock similar to clock with a clock.
Yeah, clock apparently is just sweeping the club scene.
How do you
kids are going nuts?
How do you start with clock with a clock?
Clock with a clock and
such as
similar and.
Can we hear that again? Would you mind
the remix?
Yeah,
sure. It's
remix.
Great.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and with a clock, and it's and clock similar to clock with a clock.
But at least
that's the remix.
At least the contestant got it.
That's what slays me. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Good news, lesbians.
Okay.
Lilith Fair's back.
No way.
Is it really?
Really? That's so 90s.
Lilith Fair is back. Sarah McLachlan, festival founder, has posted on her official website that Lilith Fair, the female-friendly tour, as they call it, is back on.
I only paid for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
There hasn't been a Lilith Fair since 1999.
Really? It's been that long? Wow.
Yeah. But it will hit 14 U.S. and 4 Canadian cities next summer. The artist lineup has not yet been announced, but I'm guessing Tori Amos, Sarah McLachlan,
Tracy Chapman.
Ellen, Indigo Girls.
Ellen DeGeneres. Portia de Rossi. Rosie O'Donnell.
I think all of those people sing.
Oh. Yeah. So, Lilith Fair.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
I suppose it's...
The answer, yes.
A matter of taste. Movie news. Interesting casting. This sounds... I've got a good news, bad news situation with the movie casting.
Okay.
Good news. Zach Galifianakis and Amy Adams are co-starring in a movie called Townhouse about an agoraphobic man who can't leave his townhouse and the hooker that befriends him.
Love it.
Sounds
love
great.
Love it.
He orders out for a little home cooking. Yeah. So she shows up and they become friends, and he can't leave his townhouse, but she has a heart of gold and helps him with his situation.
That sounds funny.
Great actors, both of them.
Sounds good. A great premise with a great cast.
That's the good news.
That's the good news.
All right.
Ready for the bad news?
Sure.
Adam Sandler has signed on to star in Jack and Jill, a movie where Adam will play Jack as well as his twin sister Jill.
Oh, no. No.
And hilarity ensues.
No.
Yeah. I've never heard Lisa so deflated.
That's just not good.
I predict that will be a movie even Kevin won't go see. Oh, that's
on.
How bad that movie is.
I'll have to wait and see the trailer.
See, it's Adam Sandler in a wig as a girl. He's Jill and he's Jack.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something as I slip into Lewis Black mode.
Yes, Lewis Black.
There's an office somewhere where some Jack Hall walked in and talked to a fat executive behind a desk and said, Jack and Jill, Adam Sandler plays a guy and his twin sister. And the guy went, boom, green light, wrote him a check.
That did happen.
I guarantee you that's how that whole movie got started.
Doesn't he run his own company, though? I mean, maybe he made the decision to do it.
There's we don't have enough assassins in this world. That's what I'm saying.
Why are you bad, America?
There need to be more dudes you can pay to kill people.
I just can't believe that Eddie Murphy is not in that movie or didn't get the idea first.
Yeah, that's true. How did Norbit not have a twin sister? Is that what you're asking yourself?
Horbit, right.
Oh, see what he did there?
He added whore to it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Joaquin Phoenix is 35 years old today. I wonder if Joaquin was here right now, what would he say? I wonder.
I'd love to come on the show and perform.
Yeah.
When it's on.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it, you know. It's,
you know, that seems unlikely.
David Letterman, the man. Ben Harper's 40 years old today. Julia Roberts turns 42. Andy Richter celebrates his 43rd birthday. Lauren Holly is 46. Daphne Zuniga from Melrose Place.
Lilith Fair.
She may be at the Lilith Fair. She may. She's 47 years old. And actor Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue is 65 years old today. I know he made more money than God on that show.
He
made a ton of cash. But I would like to see him work again. I haven't really seen him since he's been on that show.
He was a very good actor.
I'd like to see him do something soon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you know how you always tell stories where you love it so much that a guy goes from the best possible scenario to the worst possible scenario in like the blink of an eye?
Yeah, mountaintop to valley in 1 second.
Yep.
Right. 1 second you're having sex with Marissa Miller, the next second you're having a heart attack and you're dead, right? It's that kind of a thing.
Yes.
Well, that happened to me yesterday.
You were having sex with Marissa Miller?
I was, but that's not even the story here. That happened earlier in the day. But what I'm going to tell you about happened later in the day. I had a rare trip to the movies yesterday. You know, I rarely leave the island. You know, that's my whole thing, right? Is to try to never leave the island, never leave the house if I can get it, right?
Dean is agoraphobic. Is that the right word?
Yes.
It is. Agoraphobic. I don't get out very much. But yesterday was my wedding anniversary, believe it or not. And we decided to splurge and go to the movies. So we went to the movies yesterday afternoon to see Where the Wild Things Are, which, by the way, I concur with you 100%. Phenomenal movie.
It was a great movie. Yeah.
Great movie. Loved it to death. And it couldn't have gone any better for me, of all people, because one of the reasons I don't go to the movies that much is because of all the goddamn people. So I go to the movies, and we walk in, and it's right about the beginning of the previews, and we are – and how often does this happen? Literally the only people in the theater.
Oh,
literally,
great.
It's a huge screening room. I mean, it's one of the big screens in a multiplex. We're the only couple in the room.
Perfect for you.
So I feel like, you know, a baller that I, you know, it's like, it's almost like I rented out, out a room for our anniversary party, right?
Baller.
So we're sitting there and the first trailer comes on, the second trailer comes on, and we're still the only people in there. And I'm expecting any second now people are going to start, pouring into this room, right? Because there's no way we're going to sit there, on a Tuesday afternoon and be the only people seeing this movie, right? Well, right as the... Our feature presentation. Right as that happens, this guy comes in and he sits down in the front row. Okay.
All right.
Which is fine. There's one guy in the theater, which is fine. Right. And then he starts coughing. And I mean, not just a, I mean, a big, throaty, like deep cough. Okay.
Like he might gag any minute cough.
Yeah. Rough cough. Okay. And I thought, well, that's unfortunate. And then 20 seconds later, it happens again.
And then 20 seconds after that, it happens again. And now it's clear to me that this guy is sick and is coughing his lungs out. I mean, the kind of coughing that you wouldn't talk on the phone if you were coughing this bad. You couldn't eat a meal if you were coughing this
Why
bad.
Are
I mean,
you
he's
in a
sick.
Movie theater like that? That's ridiculous.
Well, I had plenty of time to think that, all right? So I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because nobody goes to the movies if they're coughing that badly. So clearly he's having a bad minute. And it's going to settle down, right?
Maybe get a soda or a Coke or, you know,
yeah.
a water
something.
Or something.
Yeah, lozenge, water, something, right. So now the movie has started and little Max is running around, you know, throwing snowballs at kids in the neighborhood. My guy in the front row is still hacking up a lung. We got up, by this point, by the way, we got up and we moved to the opposite side of the theater. We had sat right in the middle being the only people there. So now we've moved as far away from him as possible. But he is coughing so loud and so often. Now, before I tell you what I did, I'd be curious to hear what you guys do at this point. If there's literally three of you in the theater, but one of you is hacking up a lung, what do you do?
What would you do? I don't know. I mean... If you're the only three people, maybe you could go, hey, dude, you need a soda or something, you know, try to...
How far away from him were you?
Well, I mean, picture an average-sized movie. I'm on, you know, one side of the theater. He's on the other side, so it's got to be a good 40 seats or something like that. And we're back a few rows, and he's in the very front row. I mean, we're almost as far away from him as we can be, but you could sure hear him... Every 20 seconds. No joke. Like, three times a minute that's happening during the movie.
Did you have soda or water or anything that you could have offered him?
Well, I mean, I had my own soda. I wasn't going to go offer him a hit off my straw or something like that.
No, no, no. But,
clearly, he knows he's coughing. He could get a water if he wanted to, right?
I think I'd knock him out.
Lisa, you're the one who hates confrontation more than anyone. Would you? But what do you do if you're there? Especially since we so rarely go to the movies. It's our anniversary. We've really been looking forward to this movie. We don't just want to get up and give up and walk out and concede the day to this guy because he's being rude, do we? I mean, what would you do, Lisa?
I mean, if it really got completely distracting, I think I might leave because something like that would really ruin the experience. But you're right. I mean, you never get...
You can do the chicken thing. You could go out and get somebody from the theater and go, that guy's coughing a lot.
That might be what
I would
do.
Maybe you should go up and, you know, say something or whatever.
Of course, they hardly ever do that.
And maybe he doesn't know it's you.
Yeah. The only other guy in the theater, right? Well, I did go over to him, and I said, hey, I said, I'm sorry to, you know, sorry to bother you, but are you going to stay for the whole movie? And he's like, yeah. And
I said, well, his answer was gonna be?
Well, I thought I was hoping he might take a hint and go, oh, this guy's asking me because clearly I'm destroying the experience for the other people who paid for a ticket here by coughing three times a minute, right? So he says, yeah. And I said, well, you know, you're kind of ruining the movie for us because you're coughing so much. And he says, oh, well.
So.
Now, at this point, I have to be honest.
Now
at this point,
you go and you talk to someone.
I'm no longer enjoying the film at this point, by the way. At this point, all I can think about is this guy's coughing. And by the way, in between coughs, you know what this is like. All you're doing is waiting for the next cough because you know what's coming, right?
Sure.
You're now super tuned to what that guy's doing and not what's going on the screen, right? So I go back and I sit next to Dot and she's like, what happened? I'm like, hey, he said, oh, well. And I'm sitting there, I'm fuming and I think, all right, I'm going to go get somebody from the theater, right?
Yes.
So I walk by him again. And by the way, as I walk by him again, I go, still ruining it for us. And then I keep on walking.
So now he doesn't go out.
So now maybe he's coughing on purpose. I don't know. So I go out and I say to the teenager who's working the door, who's ripping the tickets, who you know can't and won't do anything. And I said, listen, I said, we got a guy in our theater and he's sitting in the front row. He's easy to find and he's coughing all the time. He's ruining the movie. Is there anything you can do? Can you have somebody go talk to him or whatever, right? So she says, all right, I'll send somebody in. Well, the whole rest of the movie goes by. Nobody ever came in.
Oh, man.
Well, they're busy, dude. They got all those other theaters.
Yeah, on a Tuesday afternoon at 2, right? They're pretty packed, right?
Yeah.
So after the movie, I go up to the customer relations desk and I say, seriously, I said, I love this theater, but I just had the worst movie-going experience of my life. So they're like, what happened? So then I have to go through the whole story again. And they ended up offering me free passes for another visit to the theater, which I'm fine with. I'm happy to take that and stuff. But I do feel like the theater also had a responsibility. Even though there were only three paid tickets for Where the Wild Things Are, didn't they have a responsibility as the host to come in and say something to the dude?
Especially because there's only three people. I mean, if there's a lot of people, you don't have a lot of control. But if there's only three people and one of them is dying,
Yeah. And that's the other thing, by the way, that I haven't even gotten into is these days, if somebody's coughing up a lung, how do you not think I'm sitting in a room for an hour and 45 minutes with a guy who probably has the swine flu? I'm breathing that air. Now I'm going to get the swine flu, right?
Yes.
I hope.
I mean, it's not like being on an airplane with a guy sitting right next to you, but I mean, we're the only people. We got to be breathing the same air if we're sitting in that theater together for an hour and a half.
It sounds like he's certainly doing his best to fill the room with his blackness.
I saw Outbreak. That's exactly how it started. Remember?
That was a movie.
The guy in the movie theater.
Yes.
And I asked,
and then everybody got it.
That's true. That's true. And I asked the guy at the customer relations desk, I said, look, I said, I feel like, you know, I had a terrible experience. Here's why. I feel like you guys had a responsibility to come in and do something. He's like, this is exactly what the guy said. Well, that's kind of a gray area. I don't know if we would have asked him to leave. And I'm like, how can you? I mean, you would ask somebody to leave if they were talking on a cell phone, right? Or if they were, you know, playing a video game that was making noise. I mean, if somebody's, making noise like that, it seems like the theater owes it to the other patrons to try to keep it quiet.
Yeah, I would think.
I agree, too. Right. And, you know, some theaters, like the Arclight, they'll go in and take care of it.
Yeah.
But most other theaters, they're total wimps. They won't do it.
This is why Kevin is right again, because he never goes to the movies without a BB gun. And if I'd have thought about that, I would have been able to take
BB gun.
That's right.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been the answer.
Shocks the hell out of people. So, are you dying now?
Well, now all I can think about is
virus database has been updated,
and every minute since then, I've been thinking, oh, my throat is a little scratchy.
No.
Oh, I have a headache.
I feel a little feverish. So we'll see whether I make it back here tomorrow. But that's my fantastic anniversary date yesterday.
Good times.
Good times indeed.
Just remember this.
The Summer of Death.
Yeah. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey. Can I read a quick email before I get into the showbiz news?
Sure.
This comes from listener Lindsay Stansfield. Lindsay emails me, Ralph, I was listening to the Showbiz Beat this morning. Tuned in a little late and caught some audio of a girl talking about clocks. And then a song you said was made about her. I didn't hear what it was from. Can you tell me where I can find it and who it is? Thanks, Lindsay Stansfield. Lindsay, thanks for listening, first and foremost. And what you missed was the explanation that it was our very own Miss Cleo, who was participating in a game this morning where she had to describe for a listener titles of Foo Fighter songs. And that was her attempt to try to get the listener to say times like these.
She couldn't use it. She couldn't use the words times like or these.
Right. So she had to sort of dance around it and describe the title in order to get the listener to guess that title. And she was trying to get the listener to guess seven titles.
Right.
In 45 seconds. Right. I think she got one.
Correct.
Which was enough
and
to
one.
Win. Sadly enough. But in case anyone else missed it, here is not only Cleo giving the clues, but then the hot dance mix version of her clues, which is sweeping the club scene across the United States.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
Now,
that's not edited.
Wow.
That's not edited.
That's her thought process.
That happened like that.
Just like that.
Now, Ralph, this was an hour ago. How is it already sweeping the club scene?
Apparently, someone in Austria picked it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the Euro trash over there now are just doing their poppers, you know, dropping their X.
Sure.
I have I've heard from our Finnish listener, by the way, that it's already number one on the club chart in Finland.
That?
It's happened so fast.
They're all geeked out over there wearing their nipple clamps and their mesh T-shirts dancing to this.
A clock, clock. With a clock, and it's those, and with a clock, and it's and clock, similar to clock, clock, with a clock.
Yeah, apparently in Ibiza, that's when the soap starts coming out.
The foam?
Yeah. When the foam comes out, when that song kicks
off. I like
it. It's like their new ritual.
And it's called Respect the Clock, right? That's that's the name of the song?
Respect the Clock. That's right.
Miss Cleo, I've been saying it my whole life. I'll be saying it until the day I die. Miss Cleo. I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask again, how do you start with a clock with a clock?
Clock with a clock? Similar to?
How does that happen?
As? Such as? Clock?
We're going to put that up on the website so that, because I need that as my ringtone.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when my phone rings.
I'm going to set it as my alarm clock on my cell phone, because sometimes when I take a nap, I'll just put that next to me on the bed.
Right.
So when the alarm goes, it'll be clock.
A clock.
Clock,
with a clock,
with
and
the
it's
clock.
Those, and with a clock, and it's and clock, similar to clock, clock, with a clock.
Wow.
Pretty strong.
Clock with a clock.
Thanks to DJ Omar Khan for rocking that out for me. I appreciate that. Speaking of music, them Crooked Vultures.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait. The new supergroup starring our pal Dave Grohl.
What do you mean can't wait, Kevin? You have to hate this band.
I don't know. What are you talking
about?
There's
a lot of classic rock
involved
in this.
Because John Paul Jones is in it from Led Zeppelin, so automatically it's got to be bad, right?
He's old.
Because he's old.
He's old.
Other two guys are good.
But he's old. That usually cancels things out for you.
Yep. Usually all you need is one old guy and you're out.
Dying.
Their new single is online.
Clocks with a clock?
Clock with a clock, it's called. If you go to the band's official website, themcrookedvultures.com, you can hear New Fang, which is their brand new debut track. So you can check that out.
It's good. Rocks pretty hard, too.
Bean's already heard it.
Yep,
he's on it. I think Bean plays on it.
I got it on my iPod.
He plays the theremin.
He does, yeah.
So you can check that out. Good news, if like me, you're a fan of January Jones from Mad Men. She has picked up 2 movie roles in 1 week. It's been a very good week for January Jones.
Wow.
She's by the way on the cover of GQ magazine.
Boobies.
Wow. What are you saying?
That's a good interview inside, too. I actually read the interview.
You didn't read it.
The guy who writes the article gets drunk with her on a plane flight, a cross-country plane flight.
Awesome.
How great is that? Sitting next to January Jones in first class, and she's just pounding brews, and you're just getting loaded.
That's the way to do
it. That's the way to do an interview, by the way.
And who did she say in that interview? Refresh my memory. Who's the star that she dated when she moved to Hollywood, Ralph?
Oh.
Remember? It was somebody.
God damn it.
Was it Keanu Reeves or somebody? It was somebody.
Dr. Conrad Murray.
I think it was Keanu Reeves. No, it was Ashton Kutcher.
That's who it was.
Ashton Kutcher was her boyfriend when she first moved to Los Angeles.
They were filming American Wedding, right?
How about that?
That's when she met.
I don't know, Bean. I don't know exactly when they were dating. I'm just telling you they were dating. Okay.
I was just surprised. That was the first time I'd ever heard mention of that in that interview.
He said to her she should give up acting because she's not very good at it and she's not going to make much of a career.
Excellent.
So she should just give it up. And she got pissed off and broke up with him. And now look at her. She's on Mad Men, and he's selling cameras.
Yeah, she's a way better actress than he is an actor, by the way.
Yeah, so good for her. Anyway, picked up 2 movie roles. She is starring with Liam Neeson and Diane Kruger in the upcoming thriller Unknown White Male, where Liam Neeson wakes up and out of a coma and realizes someone has stolen his identity, someone is pretending to be him, but no one will believe him. That's pretty bad.
No one will believe him.
Cool.
That's pretty bad. Guy's living in your house, driving your car, pretending to be you. You're like, no, that's me. And everybody's like, you're crazy. He's always been him.
So everyone else is on
You're not you.
Wow.
Yeah. And she also picked up a role as the wife of Nicolas Cage in a new movie called Hungry Rabbit Jumps.
Uh-oh.
More of a hungry rabbit protector. Apparently, she gets beaten up, and Nicolas Cage goes on revenge for her attack on her attackers by joining an underground vigilante organization.
Okay. Of rabbits?
Okay. Of rabbits.
Big teeth! Oh, fight your throat out! Can she do the first movie and skip the second one?
No, she has to do as many big screen things as she can, because I love her so much.
All right.
We're talking about V... the TV series on ABC that is coming soon, November.
And that's short for vagina, right?
Visitors. The Visitors. Oh. Alien Invasion, based on the popular miniseries from a few years back.
Vagina.
And I told you they were going to start skywriting giant Vs around the United States to publicize it, right?
Yeah, in a bunch of cities.
26 different U.S. landmarks are going to be V'd. Well, apparently that has been canceled.
Why?
The Washington Post. Well, there's that. But the Washington Post wrote an article taking ABC to task for polluting the air.
Soy el hombre. Vagina.
For polluting the air.
Yes. Disney, who owns ABC, has recently said they're trying to cut their fuel emissions in half by the year 2012. And the Washington Post said, how are you going to do that when you're flying airplanes around writing V's all over the place? How are you cutting
your
carbon
footprint? Could you mean vagina?
How are you cutting your carbon footprint then, Disney? And they said, well, gosh, you got a point. I guess we'll just ground those airplanes.
That seems picky.
Now they're just going to come knock on your house and go, V! Just
and run.
And run, yeah.
Vaginas are beautiful.
That's true. And George Clooney, who I just saw last night in The Men Who Stare at Goats.
How was that?
Did I love that movie.
Awesome.
I loved it. I don't think it's going to make a dime. But
really?
I think it's very sort of quirky and small and funny and smart. I don't see a lot of people rushing to go see it.
Ewan McGregor, Kevin Spacey, right?
Kevin Spacey. Yeah. Jeff Bridges, amazing in this film. Clooney's excellent. Lisa, you saw it. What did you think?
I did. I really, when I walked out, I liked it, but the more I thought about it over the next couple of days, it's one of those that sticks with you, yeah. And the longer I thought about it, the more I liked it, you know? It kind of grew on me.
It's built
That's
for,
what she said!
It's built for a specific audience, you know? It kind of mocks the military to a certain point and the way they think and stuff, you know? I loved it. I just don't know if it's going to find an audience or not. Maybe do better on DVD, I think, as people talk more about it.
That's probably
But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because George is getting in the TV business.
He is
producing a series on TNT.
Is it called
Good Morning Vagina?
No, it's called Memphis Blues.
Memphis Blues.
And it's about a Memphis, Tennessee cop who moonlights as an Elvis impersonator and lives with his mother. I love it already.
That sounds funny.
Yeah. Now, if we can just get Nicolas Cage to star in it, I'll be happy. More of an Elvis person. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dennis Franz is 65 years old today. Microsoft CEO Bill Gates celebrates his 54th birthday. Daphne Zuniga from Melrose Place. Did you ever see The Sure Thing with John Cusack and her?
Absolutely.
That's a great,
great movie.
She's 47. Lauren Holly is 46. Andy Richter celebrates his 43rd birthday. Julia Roberts is 42. Ben Harper turns 40. And Joaquin Phoenix is 35 years old today, and we've been sampling for you some clips of Joaquin.
Yeah, we don't have that.
He was on the David Letterman show.
Oh, okay, good.
Why don't we have that?
We have that. We have that.
Yes. Who are you thinking of? Oh, you're thinking of Rivers Cuomo.
You're thinking when he mistook him for Rivers Cuomo.
Yes. Now, we have the Letterman thing.
Here's Joaquin on his famous interview with David Letterman.
Excellent.
But you're not going to act anymore?
No.
Huh. Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was the last interview he did.
And rightly so.
Yes.
Too bad we don't have that audio of Kevin mistaking him for Rivers.
We don't. Cuomo. Sorry.
We have a
lot of time and all that. We have a little time.
Right?
We have the clock with the clock.
All right, we were talking about Rivers Cuomo, who, of course, is the genius behind Weezer. And Kevin, for some reason, thought he was Joaquin Phoenix.
I don't know how this happens.
What was Rivers Cuomo talking about? Why did he call just to say hi to her?
I'll tell you this. Nothing. Like, he really is so quiet and so shy. And
what's his... Is he full of crap? What is his deal? I mean, I think this whole thing where he's going to go into music and blah, 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 it's all just like a video that they're making or a movie or something.
I don't know. What is his deal? What's he saying?
What are you talking about? We're talking about Rivers Cuomo.
Kevin? Oh, he's talking about...
Who was I talking about?
You're talking about
Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
That's an excellent point.
Thank you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning, and all new Kevin and Bean Show, Jason Mayhem Miller talking MMA. He's going to be fighting again for Strike Force. Petros Papadakis speaking of sports, talking World Series, college football, NBA, NHL. And do you watch the Flash Forward?
That's a good show. Love Flash Forward.
Dominic Monaghan will be on the program tomorrow as well.
He knows why we flashed.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away, though. We got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next with our friend Kat Corbett, including some killers for you. Also, Just Breathe is the latest from Pearl Jam. We got The Offspring. Hey, Marcy Playground might be worth sticking around for, too. All of that straight ahead right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.